advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say?
To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Now, did you miss me? This is live. This is not the best stuff. My goodness gracious, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. My goodness gracious, there's so much stuff going on. There is so much stuff going on. Oh, my word, my word, my word, my word. There's so much stuff going on. Ooh, where do we begin? Where do we begin? Please don't miss the St. Louis Public Schools watch the next hour. It is going to be something. It is going to be something. There's a lot of stuff going down in the St. Louis Public Schools, and I think that some of us took a deep breath after the new board was elected. And those in opposition to us just doubled their efforts, and we're going to talk about that in the next hour. You don't want to miss that. I want to talk about some stuff that might have you might have missed, some points that you might have missed, some evidence that might not have been presented to you. I want to do that. Because there's some stories out there that I don't think that you all have had an opportunity connect the dots with. I've said this on my show time and time and time again. It's not quite a mantra, but it certainly has been repeated. I've said that my concern has been that there are very few progressive Democrats, and let alone progressive Democrats with guts. Or not even guts. Let's just say a moral core that they will stand on. That there is too much fear in Democrats and let alone progressive Democrats. There's only a handful of them that are fearless the way that they should be. Despite all of that, as proof of the missing in action of Democrats, I present to you Joe Lieberman. I can't stand him. I didn't like him when he was running for. I didn't like the fact that Al Gore picked him as a running mate. I didn't like the reasons why Al Gore picked him. I didn't. I thought that the disloyalty. Now, I am not a Clinton fan, not a Clinton supporter. He demonstrated to me what he was about. I should have paid attention when he ran and came back home to execute a mentally retarded man in order to get reelected. Should have understood that act. Should have believed that act. Nevertheless, despite all of that, the fact that Lieberman was the first Democrat to point the finger at Bill Clinton and say that he needed to do something and to say that Clinton was wrong about the whole blue dress thing, that's disloyal. And particularly in light of the fact that he can't point his finger at George Bush for people dying. To me, that's just disgusting. But I didn't like Joe Lieberman back then, and I really do not respect or like can tolerate his disloyalty and his fakery. Is that a word, fakery? The fact that he is so pro-war and so in defense of George W. Bush. That his own members of his own, that members of the Republican Party had a discussion about whether or not they were going to endorse him. They liked him so much, he was so much on their side. So how is that working out for Joe out there in Connecticut? Well, Joe Lieberman has been a United States Senator for quite some time. And in order to as an incumbent, he has never faced a Democrat in the primary, because in order for the Democrat to be in his primary, the Democrat has to get 15% of all of the little townships. The little Democratic townships come together in one day, and they do a voice vote. And if the voice vote does not give the person that's trying to give the Democrat a run for their money, then the person that wants to run against the Democratic incumbent has to do the tedious process of going from township to township and getting enough signatures statewide. Well, there is a man who has run on one thing, Ned Lamont. He said Joe Lieberman is wrong for this country. And he came into the race a little late. Oh, let's say, what is this, May? He came into the race in March and said Joe Lieberman is wrong. He showed pictures of Joe Lieberman being kissed by George W. Bush. You. So Ned said, you know what, he's wrong and I'm going to run against him and I'm going to get... Ned Lamont said, I'm going to get 30% of those little votes from the Democratic primary. I'm not going to get 15%, I'm going to get 30%. Well, Ned was wrong. And they had their little township meeting, and Ned didn't get 30%. He got 33%. What does that mean? It means that Joe Lieberman will have a Democratic opposition. And it shows for the Democrats out there, it shows you don't have to have a whole lot of money, because Ned didn't have the money. Ned didn't have the name recognition. Ned didn't have nothing compared to what Joe Lieberman was supposed to have, except Ned had the one thing that helped him get those numbers. What? He was on the right side of the issue. See what being on the right side of the issue be? See what being fearless, see what being right does for you? Huh. The first congressional district began its roll call. Lieberman just knew he was going to be cool. He had no problems, right? Barkhamsted, little teeny tiny Barkhamsted, if they had two votes. Only two votes there. They cast them both for Lamont. The once Lieberman-friendly town of Windsor cast 13 of its 17 votes for Lamont. And then everybody started getting a little happy then. People started howling. They were so excited. We're talking about, this is a huge, huge, huge statement about where people should be on the war. And let me switch to the other fake Democrat out there. Hillary, let me put in a piece of legislation to ban flag burning. Clinton. Guess who's endorsing Hillary Clinton? Guess who's endorsing Hillary Clinton's opposition? We had him on the show. Susan Sarandon. Okay, well, you know, Susan Sarandon is not an elected official, but she sure does represent liberal Hollywood. So we have Susan Sarandon, we have Molly Ivins, and we have Arianna Huffington. All of them super, super self-defined, self-described liberal white women. Some of them with as much money as Hillary Clinton. Some of them with the same amount of education as Hillary Clinton. And some of them with more fame than Hillary Clinton. One of them. All three of them said, H-E double toothpicks, no, I am not supporting Hillary Clinton. Arianna Huffington said, absolutely not. She got a lot of money. Susan Sarandon, a whole lot of fame, whole lot of influence, said, no, not only am I not endorsing her, I'm endorsing her opponent. And Molly Ivins, super, super, super progressive, said, there is no way I am ever going to support Hillary Clinton. Huh. Oh, what a little bit of supporting the war can do for you. And remember, Hillary Clinton just got money raised for her by, what's his name, Rupert Murdoch. Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. There was also an earthquake. You may not have, for those of you that have your own seismographs out there, you might not have felt it on the Richter scale. But there was an earthquake, or might not have measured on the Richter scale, but there was an earthquake nonetheless, and it took place in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania dumped two Republican leaders in their state Senate. We're talking about senators that have been there for decades. This is a partisan primary, right? They dumped Republicans. Why? Because these are the Republicans that voted to give themselves their own pay raise. There's stuff coming, y'all. There's stuff coming in this upcoming election. There is stuff coming. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. These are anti-incumbent messages that went out last week. On Sunday, Joe Lieberman got a reality check. Oh, there's a new world coming. There's a new world coming. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fact. My toll-free 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning.
I am retired from the military. I've been back now 3 years. And one of the things that has concerned me is the low voter turnout and registration that I've observed. After traveling around the world a few times, I've been to other countries and I've seen long lines of people registering to vote. I'm just wondering who, it appears to me that no one gets interested in voter registration until about 30 days before an election. Who can we contact to encourage a strong voter registration push beginning now for the November election?
I think that that's one of the charges that should be placed upon the Democratic Party, one. I think that there are organizations out there that also should have that responsibility. And I think individually, I think that there should just be a group that's all about voter registration.
I agree.
All about voter registration.
It appears that the political parties, however, don't seem to be overly enthused because incumbents, I'm coming to the conclusion, do not want to increase voter registration.
I think when you do the math in some of the districts, some of the positions, you're absolutely right. They would prefer not to have more people in there because they know they have the ones that vote for them already there. So
right.
Why do I need more?
So we can't depend upon the Democratic Party itself to encourage a great deal of voter registration.
I think we should insist upon it, but I agree with you. I don't think we should depend solely upon them.
What about church leaders? I don't know them, but are they into this type of action?
I think that that is something that they should be, because that's nonpartisan. Registering people to vote is nonpartisan. So I think that that is something that they should be pushed upon as well.
Well, I hope someone listening to this conversation would step forward. I've been out of circulation in the area for several years, and I don't know the individuals, but I hope someone listening could get it started, because 30 days before an election is just simply too late.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Thank you
so much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And how is this? More people voted for American Idol last night. They're saying, getting real close to the number of people that voted for the last presidential election. What does that tell you about where we are as a nation? And I'm going to, you know, I T-voted American Idol last night. I watched a little bit of it, but I watched it in my own TiVo way, so I don't have to sit there and sit all the way through it. I can fast forward through what doesn't matter to me, which was most of it. But I watched it simply because I wanted to experience the cultural thing that was going on in our nation last night. It mattered to people a lot last night who won American Idol. Now, here's the thing. In fairness to the American people, if you could vote by picking up your, if you could vote for the President of the United States by picking up your phone, I think there would be a whole lot of people that would vote in the United States. I think a whole lot of people would vote. If you could vote on a Saturday, I think a whole lot more people would vote. You know? Yeah, if you could, what if you're right, Howard? Vote him off the island. I think that a lot of people would have voted Bush off the island. He would have never gotten elected if there had been a phone vote. And maybe someday there will be a phone vote. So in some ways, I think it's kind of an unfair thing, because it's easy. It's easy to pick up your phone and vote for something. It's difficult to leave work to vote. It's difficult to drive somewhere to vote. And it also is difficult when American Idol is in your face every week. We see these guys at the end, you know, 3 months out, 4 months out of an election. Nevertheless, more people, I wonder, if more young people know more about Taylor Hicks than they do about George W. Bush, bet they do. Bet they do. And I wonder if more of them are going to be upset if Taylor Hicks loses than they were with when George Bush won. That's the scary part. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me. Stay with me.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he said. Preoccupied. She's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. Westbound 270 at Lindbergh, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic is slowing down near 170. Southbound 55 at Loughborough and River and Fairness construction. Two right lanes are closed. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to 270 looks good. Northbound 55 from Richardson to 270 is on the move. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs and Blanchett Bridge, no problems there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at 367 and 170 look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge to 270 looks good. And all your approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge are still flowing freely this hour, as well as the King Bridge traffic looks good. Hall at East Cary, look for an injury accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. Do Chaser hangover pills really work? Yes, Chaser absorbs toxins to help you avoid hangovers. Take it while you drink to help you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some may be severe with damaging winds. The high should be in the mid-80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely to continue with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy, scattered showers. High in the mid-80s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 67, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
I'm Will Cook, president of Holiday World and Splash and Safari. For the past 60 years, Holiday World has quietly grown into the best family theme park around, focusing our entire business on families. We've been voted the cleanest and friendliest parks in the world. We have great family rides, including three of the world's best wooden roller coasters, and a huge, innovative water park, Splash and Safari. New this year is the Voyage, and I believe it is the best wooden roller coaster ever built. The Voyage travels 1.2 miles with more gut-wrenching airtime than any other wooden roller coaster in the world. People tell us we're a great value for families. We offer both of our parks for one price with free parking, and when you visit us, all your soft drinks are free. For smaller crowd sizes, visit us during the months of May or June. We're located in Santa Claus, Indiana, probably much closer than you think. For more information, visit our website at holidayworld.com. Then take a day off and have fun with your family at Holiday World and Splash and Safari.
Holiday World and Splash and Safari, number one for family fun, now open daily. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy,
investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Wednesday, May 24th, when my guest will be Dr. Charles Willey of ESSA Health, St. Louis-based physician group since 1996. We'll be talking about Medicare Part D. Have you missed the deadline? What do you do now? That's the Sloan Ranger Show, Wednesday, May 24th at 5 o'clock, only on WGNU.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hi, I'm Carrie of our show.
And I'm Elaine Adams. Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday starting May 11th from 4 until 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
Featured weekly, a diverse segment of the female population, where dialogue is exchanged about issues of immediate concern and topics that could become conversations of the late night. The Ladies' Room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in the Ladies' Room.
Where's my jewelry?
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
If it's just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And the toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. Where do we go? I want to talk about something that I haven't talked about before. An angle on this. Remember the phone call that was made on Flight 77 that hit the World Trade Center? The flight from Olson, Barbara Olson, the conservative commentator for CNN and the wife of U.S. Solicitor Olson. Now, she died, right? She's alleged to have called her husband twice from American Airline Flight 77. Now, remember, she was on the flight that crashed into what building, boys and girls? The Pentagon. We need to deconstruct her phone call twice, don't you know? Twice she called. Now, this has been unsubstantiated. We don't know. None of us can know that she actually did call. But it was the foundation for the hijacker story. Without the imminent Barbara Olson and her alleged emotional telephone calls, there would never be any evidence of the role that humans played in the hijack and the destruction of the four aircraft that day. Now, why was this lie essential? Ask yourself this question. What would most Americans have been thinking on September 12th if CNN had not provided this timely fiction? Would anybody anywhere really have believed the story about the failed Cessna pilots with box cutters taking over heavy jets and then hurling them expertly into skyscrapers? Of course not. Of course not. We have to look at that single lie. It's amazing. It's amazing when you think about stories. When you break a story down into the essence of it, it's always amazing what it reveals. What would happen if we hadn't had the two phone calls from Barbara Olson? What if they never existed? Two phone calls from her before they slammed into the Pentagon. And this is where we got the hijacker story from her, right? From her. Barbara Olson, the conservative commentator and attorney, called her husband, Ted Olson, when she was on the plane while the plane was being hijacked on Tuesday morning. That's what Ted Olson told CNN. Ted Olson told CNN that his wife said that all the passengers and the flight personnel, including the pilots, were in the back of the plane by the armed hijackers. The only weapons she mentioned were knives and cardboard cutters. She asked her husband to tell the pilot what to do. We're going to come back with some more details of this, but ask yourself. We're going to be back. I'm going to take a quick break. Stay with me. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Oh yeah, there's more.
one always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Get in the zone. AutoZone. With the high cost of gas these days, poor gas mileage will waste a lot of money. Get to AutoZone and tune up your car now. It could save you as much as 25 cents a gallon on gas. Install new spark plugs and plug wires. Replace your air filter and fuel filter. And add a bottle of fuel injector cleaner to your tank. Stop throwing money away. Get to AutoZone during National Car Care Month and start saving money on gas now.
Get in the zone with AutoZone.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get your washers, your dryers, your refrigerators, your stoves, your big screens, your little screens, any kind of screen TV? You're going to go to Sears. Where else? Right there at Union and Natural Bridge. All the best deals in town and the best customer service and the best stuff. So get on down to Sears, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof. But beware, when these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
This is George Cotton.
And this is Syl Wilson.
We're your co-hosts for The Real Deal with George and Syl.
Every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 p.m.
Tune us in for thought-provoking and challenging conversation.
That's right. Count on informative dialogue, guaranteed controversy between George and I, and even a little humor.
That's right. The Real Deal with George and Syl. Every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. Tune us in. Spread the word. And we guarantee you'll love the show. See you then.
Good Turn for America. Be a hero in your community. No experience necessary. Team up with the volunteers from the Boy Scouts and the American Red Cross to promote emergency preparedness. Get a Red Cross first aid kit for your home and encourage friends and family to do the same. Log on to goodturnforamerica.org to make a difference.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Stand there and listen to my life go by. And at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have like I'm invisible.
Say that you won't treat me the way you're treating me.
Yeah, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to get to this before we get into the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Ask yourself, we're talking about the phone call made by Barbara Olson. The flame that ignited the story that we all bought into in one way or another. Barbara Olson made two phone calls, right? Two phone calls to her husband. My question is this. Let's say that all right, let's just walk through this. Barbara Olson, a conservative commentator and attorney, called her husband, Solicitor General Ted Olson, and she said that the plane she was on was being hijacked on Tuesday morning. Ted Olson told this to CNN. Shortly afterwards, Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon. Ted Olson told CNN that his wife said all the passengers and the flight personnel, including the pilots, were herded into the back of the plane by the armed hijackers. The only weapons she mentioned were knives and cardboard cutters. She felt nobody was in charge and asked her husband to tell the pilot what to do. Now, here's one thing. At no point does CNN quote Ted Olson directly. Instead, they write, Ted Olson told CNN that his wife said all the passengers and flight personnel, blah, 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 blah. They didn't quote him as saying, Mr. Olson told CNN, my wife said all the passengers. You understand the subtlety of that? And if you're not vibing off of that, consider this. Consider this. If you knew, and I'm asking you from a human-to-human perspective. Some of you are excluded, but most of you aren't. From a human-to-human perspective, if you knew or you suspected that your spouse's aircraft had just been fireballed inside of the Pentagon building, how would you spend the rest of the day? Would you be shell-shocked? Some of us would be shell-shocked and unable to leave the house. Would you, I don't know, drive over to the Pentagon, you think? And remember, you're not just a little gas jockey out here pumping gas, okay? You are the Solicitor General of the United States of America. You don't think that you wouldn't have flown a plane over to the Pentagon from wherever you were. Wouldn't you be over at the Pentagon?
Or would you just go home and wait for emergency services to bring you the inevitable bad news? Ted Olson did not return to work until 6 days later. Now, for the record, let me ask you this. Would one of the things on your list of things to do after your wife made that phone call to you, after your spouse made that phone call to you, baby, I'm on a plane, they're getting ready to kill us, they're getting ready to crash a plane in, they've hijacked, blah, 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 blah. Would one of the things on your list to do be, would be to call CNN and tell them what was going on? Would that be one of the things? And now, understand this. You are the Solicitor General of an administration that prides itself on secrecy above all. No story leaves us without being checked, double-checked, and insisted upon, and there are no leaks in this administration. These are back in the halcyon days of the Bush administration. Do you think that you would have been able to even consider calling CNN about the details like that if that story wasn't supposed to be out there? Come on. Would the first thing on your mind be to call the CNN Atlanta news desk in order to give them a scoop? You would know that every single one of those, everything that you told CNN had to be vetted first by the National Security Council. And the vetting process takes at a minimum of 2 days and most likely three. Let's look at it this way. Let's say the Pentagon was hit by a missile. They needed to cover story, didn't they? They needed to cover story quick. They needed a cover story quick. And they got one. Two phone calls from a reporter, nonetheless. From the wife of a person working in this administration. And it came to you straight away. Straight away. Consider this. If the CNN story about Ted Olson had occurred, and he had really called them about Barbara on September 11th, then he would have surely have followed up with a phone call a few days later with a one-on-one interview telling the husband and the respectful interviewer about how badly he missed his wife. Why didn't we ever see that? All we have is a story of someone saying that Ted Olson said what they said he said. And in a poignant remembrance at the Justice Department, U.S. Solicitor General Theodore Olson referred to, quote, the sufferings we have all experienced. You still believe? You still believe? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have this St. Louis Public Schools Watch coming at us. You don't want to miss this. Much, much, much ado in the St. Louis Public Schools. We have to talk about it. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress has been made. You take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below navel.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air feels brother. Help
me listen. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory.
are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
Final immigration bill members decided that only a fraction of illegal immigrants should be allowed to stay in the U.S. and try for citizenship, not the majority President Bush wants. As for a wall along the border, Mexico's president has something to say about that while he's visiting the U.S. this week. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
A group of about 100 Utah Minutemen have been holding American flags and banners urging Vicente Fox to go home and fix problems in his own country.
People are coming across breaking our laws in this country, and now they're out in the streets demanding that they have the same rights as citizens of this country.
Mr. Fox did make a brief comment about border security while he was here in Utah. He said Mexico wants to be part of a solution and that building a fence is not the answer. Alex Stone, ABC News, Salt Lake City.
Consumer Reports says the skyrocketing price of gas has made more than a third of all drivers think they should buy a more fuel-efficient vehicle. Many are thinking a hybrid. President Bush says the key is alternatives to gas and oil.
President Bush says the safest, cleanest alternative to oil is nuclear power. He's spending time today outside Philadelphia. The Limerick Generating Station churns out enough power for 2 million homes every hour. No nuclear plants have been built in the U.S. in about 30 years. The president says the government should make it easier. And Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The World Health Organization looking into a bird flu outbreak in Indonesia. 7 people infected, 6 are dead. Some of them members of a family who passed the virus from one person to another.
There's no need for, you know, for heightened public concern because we have just, you know, one little cluster in Indonesia. It doesn't say anything at all about the bigger global health picture.
That's the WHO's Peter Cordingly.
I am predicting that Taylor Hicks will be the next American Idol.
Well, maybe you heard it here first. DialIdol.com's Jim Helleriggle. He's predicted some of the past winners. We find out tonight, ABC News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
This Memorial Day weekend, kick off summer at Lowe's. Between now and Monday, get a $5 mail-in rebate on 1 gallon and $20 on 5 gallons of American Tradition paint. Get a 50-pound bag of Quikrete for $1.98 and free propane exchange with the purchase of any full-size gas grill. Plus, use your Lowe's consumer card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more, now through May 29th. See store for details. This Memorial Day, hurry to Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Analysts say the latest Osama bin Laden audio tape is probably the real thing. The speaker says Zakarias Moussaoui had nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks. Moussaoui, if you remember, told a federal jury a different story. He said he did, and now he's doing life in prison. Another Dan Brown bestseller is going to be headed for the big screen soon. Here's ABC's Daniela Bellotta.
Professor Langdon, you're in grave danger.
Columbia Pictures wants to cash in on the Da Vinci Code's box office success. The film studio is planning to turn Dan Brown's first best-selling religious thriller, Angels and Demons, the prequel to Da Vinci, into a movie. The Da Vinci screenwriter has been hired to adapt Angels. A studio spokesman says a deal hasn't been reached with actor Tom Hanks and director Ron Howard, but both will have first crack at the new film. Despite negative reviews, Da Vinci scoring the second biggest opening, taking in $232 million worldwide. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news and traffic and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. St. Louis police are investigating an overnight murder in the city's north side. A man was found shot to death outside his home overnight near Thecla and Riverview. The victim's name hasn't been released as of yet. State Representative Jackson of Wildwood and three others are unhurt after a plane accident in central Missouri. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Jackson was piloting his private plane last night after just before takeoff when it struck a deer on the runway in Camdenton Airport. Jackson will be able to keep his plane was able to keep his plane from overturning. Before his legislative career, Jackson was a Boeing test chief pilot. He's now campaigning for state auditor. Drivers in Clayton could run into some delays today and tomorrow. Crews will be paving Brentwood Boulevard between Bonham and Corporate Parkway today and tomorrow. Lane restrictions will be in place in both directions. And Missouri Commissioner of Administration Mike Keithley is firing back at State Auditor Claire McCaskill over a challenge to a petition. McCaskill publicly contended the Office of Administration is to blame for problems in the fiscal summary on the initiative that would place a cap on state spending. Keithley says McCaskill is responsible for preparing fiscal summaries for petitions, and she should take the blame for the problems. And finally, more than 30 Missouri law enforcement agencies are receiving grants from the Justice Department. 31 agencies will receive portions of a $6.5 million justice assistance grant to the state of Missouri. Some of the agencies plan to use the money to fund drug task force. That is a look at this hour's news. This hour's news has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery set for life. Six new instant games, $200 million in total available prices, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU traffic, this hour's traffic is sponsored by Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Westbound 270 at Lindbergh, there's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic's still slowing near West Florissant and westbound 70 between Cave Springs and 370. Look for an accident reported. Southbound 55 at Loughborough and River de Pere. Look for construction zone. Two right lanes are closed. Eastbound 44 from 141 all the way into Soccer Park. Look for no problems report. Northbound 55 from 141 to Lindbergh looks good. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Gravois, it's slow. Eastbound 40 from Boone Crossing to Timberlake Manor, look for normal traffic. Westbound 255 at Coke and Lee May, expect normal traffic. All your approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge, including 55, 70, 64, and northbound Route 3, are slow or stop and go at this hour. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Toyota owners, does your corner repair shop offer genuine Toyota parts? Your Toyota dealer does. Through July, visit participating Toyota dealers and receive a free oil change and a multi-point inspection, all for $24.95. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Today's showers and thunderstorms throughout the day with a high in the mid-80s. Some storms may be severe with damaging winds. This evening, thunderstorms and showers are possible throughout the evening hours with a low in the upper 60s. Moving on to Thursday, partly cloudy, scattered showers, a high in the mid-80s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s as well. Currently, we have 66 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 67. It's time now for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz, that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
In-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Good morning, good morning. I am Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
We have a number of things to talk about this morning. I'm going to start with something that is important to me since I'm here right now.
Well, it's your show.
There you go. I want to talk about Metro.
All right.
This morning, because I got a number of calls from teachers. I talked to a number of teachers. I even ran into a teacher when I was on jury duty. So we talked about what was going on in the St. Louis public schools. And there is, I must say that the problems that we were challenged with prior to your election and prior to the change of the majority of the board. Some of the problems have even gotten worse, and I'm not as a reflection of you. I'm just talking about plans that were in place prior to y'all coming to the board. I'm very concerned about the results of some of those, and I'd like to start with Metro. My assessment of Craig Williams has always been started with the $25,000 he gets every month. And I've always made that an issue because I felt that if we're going to pay somebody that much money, then at the very least they should have the experience to get the job done. when I look at what is happening to Metro, it just is, it just seems to be that the evidence is that this person doesn't have the skill level to do what needs to be done in this district. Right now, Craig Williams admitted 130 freshmen into Metro for the 2006 and 2007 school year. And talking to some of the parents, he admitted that he hadn't even been to the school and done an assessment of the school before he made that decision.
You know, this is something that goes back to last fall. There were, I don't remember the number now, but a large number of freshmen that he admitted last year. Not this many, mm-hmm. but a large number. And the parents at Metro last fall began to get real worried about what his plans were for Metro.
Mm-hmm.
And in September or October, they started inviting him to come to the school and see the school before he does anything drastic.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get him to come. They tried to get Lynn Spampinato, who's the chief academic officer, then to come. Couldn't get her to come. And they kept trying to get him to come. I think it was February school board meeting. Mm-hmm. Parents stood up and did a kind of a sarcastic presentation to him. What would it take? Would it take baked goods? What would it take to get him to come to Metro? And there were, parents held up school board documents saying that the capacity of the school was 275. There are school board members. I remember Mr. Purdy was up there in the board and pointed to the facility assessment done under William Roberti, saying the capacity was, I think, 250. And Craig Williams insisted that all of these past school district documents were wrong.
And he had never been to Metro.
And
he had never planted his feet in Metro, and yet all of these assessments were wrong.
Right. So he insisted that school could accept a lot more children. He said at a school board meeting that it had a capacity over 500. He didn't say that he wanted 500 kids in the school, but he said it had a capacity over 500, so it could accept a lot more students than it currently held. April or May?
Well, what was the month of the election? The election was
April.
April. Right after that, Craig Williams went to Metro. After the majority change,
he went
to Metro.
And he had a meeting with the executive committee of the parent teachers organization there. Mm-hmm. And from what I've read and heard from parents, he told them, we have a problem. We've admitted too many freshmen. The school's overcrowded now.
What do you mean we? What do you mean we?
Like we? I need you to help me solve this, he said.
Now, and again, I want to underscore this. The problem with Craig Williams is that he doesn't have the experience to run a district like this because he's never run a district this size. His experience is in high school, and that's the scary part of this. Okay, your experience
is high school,
and this is a high school, and your decision was to admit 100-plus students into a school that every report that you have in front of you says that's too many, and you have never taken the time out of your day to go to Metro, to walk the halls of Metro, to find out where you would put students like that.
In the interest of full disclosure, should say that having sent 129, 130 acceptance letters does not mean that number of students will show up in August.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hearing is that they're getting rejections of those acceptances at an unprecedented rate.
Who's getting rejections of what?
The school district. The parents are calling back at this point and saying, thanks but no thanks.
Why?
There are always some, you always have some, with Metro in particular, there are always some families who they've applied to Metro and maybe they've applied to, I can't think of what the
comparable
boroughs or someplace like that, So there are always some. You always get, 5-10%, or just plans have changed. Somebody, got a transfer from the job, so we have to move. But what I'm hearing is that the rejection, usually maybe 5% are saying no, we can't do it. But I'm hearing it's running around 20% right
but
now.
But Peter, 20% rejection. Counting on a rejection of the people that you've invited surely is incompetence. Surely that can't
happen.
Well,
I don't want to say that's what he was doing.
Okay.
I don't know that that's what he was doing. All I'm saying is that the number of kids who show up in September probably will not be 130 for the freshman class.
And that aside, this was the plan of the man that makes $25,000 a month to admit this many children into the school. And also, didn't he do away with the criteria of that the schools require, that Metro required?
Well, he did not do away with the criteria. I'm told that this year they're the same. Last year he relaxed the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, I don't know whether we're following last year's criteria or the historic criteria.
Mm. And so what is the explanation coming from 801? What's the explanation? What's the plan? Because that's one of the things that you all have been asking this board, asking this administration, what's the plan for the district? I'm not talking about the PR piece that you hold up for Channel 5 and Channel 4 or this flashy hundreds of thousand dollars little slick pieces that you hand out to people. What's the plan for this district? How does stuffing 150 children extra into Metro fit in with your plan for this district?
It's not clear to me that there is a plan, that there seems to be a lot of kind of shoot from the hip,
mm-hmm,
kind of things.
Well, that's a lot of, those are expensive hips that we're paying for, you know, $25,000 a month for someone to shoot from the hip. Let's go from this to the summer school program, because I think this is another thing that this administration has done that is mystifying and doesn't seem to be part of any kind of plan. This seems to be the shooting from the hip thing. We were told from Craig Williams that there was going to be, the whole big piece of his summer thing was transition. We're going to transition one kid into this. We're going to transition this grade child into this. Transition is important. We want to transition eighth graders into ninth grade. We want to transition fifth graders into sixth grade. And I believe in that. I'm with you. I believe that there should be a transitioning piece. Where are we with the transitioning piece of Craig Williams for summer school?
I think that some of our successful transitioning pieces have been abolished. In this case, I think there is a plan, and the plan is to focus on kids who need remedial help and just figure everybody else is okay.
But that's not what we were told.
But let's look specifically at Metro. You know, Metro historically had a transition summer school.
A wonderful transition summer school.
Eighth graders coming in, ninth graders, they had a transition summer school to get them prepared for the more rigorous demands,
exactly,
of Metro High School.
Exactly.
And what I've been told is that has been abolished, and Metro has to use the same remedial program that everybody else is using. Of course, presumably, the kids going in Metro don't need remedial English and remedial
math. Because they're tested.
Because they were also, that's right, they're all tested. They're all supposed to be performing at grade level to get
in
Metro.
At least at
grade level, mm-hmm, to get in Metro. So that the program that Metro used to get the kids ready for what Metro needs, poof, it's gone. You know, so how are these kids going to transition?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one question. And I found out yesterday the transition program that some of the middle schools use, Compton and Drew, for example, to transition elementary school children into middle school because of the different nature of middle school,
mm-hmm,
and the more rigorous demands of the middle school and the different organization,
mm-hmm,
school, that's been abolished. And fifth graders are supposed to go to summer school wherever the fifth grade summer school from their school is.
Why would a parent send a child to a fifth grade summer school because that's the whole huge ballyhoo. That's what Craig Williams was talking about. We're going to have these wonderful transitional schools, and that's why your kids need to go to summer school. Why on earth would a parent send their child to a fifth grade summer school if it's not transitional?
Well, some fifth graders need remedial help, so there you go. Anybody else, I don't know. I don't know why they would. I don't. And part of this, I said, the emphasis is on kids who need remedial help. The other part in this, and it gets back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, is, and I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the plan for reorganizing districts. What we have now is to me, a very confusing organization of the district.
We're paying $300,000 a year for this, though. Why is there so much confusion in this?
You know, we have some schools that are going to be kindergarten through fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Some schools that are going to be kindergarten through sixth grade. Some schools that are going to be kindergarten through eighth grade. Some middle schools, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. Some junior high schools, seventh, eighth, ninth grade. But at the same time, and I know you've heard this, and I've heard it again and again, we need a standard courses across the district, standard curriculum across the district, standard programs across the district. So now we have a standard summer school for what is a non-standard organization of the district.
And again, it goes back to the person's skill level for running an entire district, a district this large, a district that consists of something beyond high schools. Okay, we have middle schools and we have grade schools as well. What is the big plan here? I mean, how recently was Craig Williams telling us that we were going to have fifth grade transitional summer school, fifth to sixth grade? How recently was that?
It was pretty recent, but I don't remember a particular date.
But it wasn't like 6 months ago. It wasn't 5 months ago. It was somewhere in the last 3 months or so they were telling us that we were going to have. In fact, they even came to the board and asked for money for a lot of these summer school programs, right?
Yes, in April, the board approved money for these summer school programs.
So here's my question, Peter. We have these summer school programs where now all fifth graders across the district are supposed to go to summer school. For what reason is unclear. Kids that need some extra help, I understand that's what summer school has always been about. The kids that need extra help go to summer school. But everybody else is supposed to go to summer school in fifth grade. And we also have the eighth grade summer school.
Yes. We have summer school for all the grades.
Okay.
They're encouraging everybody to go to summer school. But it's particularly, they said...
Eighth grade...
Mandatory for eighth
mandatory
grade.
Mandatory for
requirement
eighth grade.
Requirement for all eighth
grade. Now, just as a planning thing, I've never run a school district before, but one would think that you would have to first make certain that you would have the teachers for such a program before you decided that every child is going to be in summer school, every fifth grade is going to be in summer school, every eighth grade is going to be mandatory for summer school, and then all the other summer school kids as well. Do we have enough teachers to do this?
I don't know.
I've been hearing we don't. I've been hearing
I've,
that
I've
we...
I've heard
we,
the same thing. I know that I know they not. Extended the application period for teachers.
That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign. This being St. Louis Public Schools, it could be a sign that just they lost all the applications. You don't know. But yes, it's not a good sign. We have stories. I know we're going to talk later about a lot of teachers getting notices that they're fired.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I want to come back and break it. I want to start that conversation. I want to stay with this one just a little bit longer in terms of preparation, Peter. In terms of preparation, there wasn't very much notice given to parents about the summer school change, let alone the eighth. I've talked to parents of eighth grade kids. The kids are saying it's mandatory, and I'm saying no, it's not mandatory because they don't know what they're going to. They don't know what's going to happen with the program. They don't know if they're going to be enough teachers. There could be kids in classrooms that are just going to be have substitute teachers, and it's just going to be a major babysitting thing for the summer.
I want to say something because there's been a discussion over the meaning of the word mandatory in school board meetings, and it's very clear that Mr. Williams does not use mandatory the way the rest of us use the word mandatory.
Okay. What is, Craig, $300,000 a year, Williams? How does he define mandatory?
He seems to define mandatory as something that strongly urges parents to do it, but it's not required.
I don't know. There's this funny word in the English language called optional.
I've run into that word.
I've used. Then that's not mandatory.
No, it's not. We've had this discussion at public board meetings. Where I and I think Donna Jones have asked him about, suppose you're ahead of grade level. Well, and he says, and it was even something put out on the school board website, that principals can grant exceptions. They'll look at your grades and your attendance and your behavior to decide whether or not you have to go. Well, if there's an option there, there's some process for deciding you don't have to go, or because you're going on vacation or your parents have other plans for you, that the principal can say, that's fine, you're going to ninth grade, then it's not mandatory. At the very last school board meeting, Craig Williams said, and I think it was Bill Purdy asked the question, said, parents and students are being told at these orientations that if they don't go to summer school, they can't go to ninth grade. And Craig Williams said, oh, that's not true. No one has been told that they will be held back and not put in ninth grade if they don't go to summer school.
This is just ridiculous.
Well, actually, people have been told. But if his position is you won't be held back, then again, where's the mandatoriness of this?
And then it's ridiculous that he, as a superintendent, hasn't sent out a letter to every principal in the district saying, no, this is not mandatory. You cannot tell anybody that they can be held back. It's like he's just allowing this to bubble along, to percolate along, and when he's confronted with it, he'll back away from it, but he will let his principals continue to say this to parents. If this is not so, then why hasn't every parent in the district received a letter saying it's not mandatory? It's optional. Check with your principal to see if your child is going to be excluded. None of that stuff has gone out.
None of it. And it's of a piece with a less important issue, but uniforms. You know, he first said it was mandatory, and schools, his principal has been sent notices saying uniforms are going to be mandatory next year. Yet when it's brought up at board meetings or brought up to Craig Williams or his staff, oh, no, every school can decide. It's not mandatory.
That's not leadership. That's very, very disconcerting. It feels Roberti-esque in the sense of I don't want to have to take any of the heat, but and as soon as the camera lights go off, then I turn into this monster cussing machine where I'm this major dictator and I'm telling you everything. But when the cameras are on, no, that's not how the district is run, and that's not how we do things in the district. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm here talking to Peter Downs. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontra Buzzy calling you from McLean School, Zeki Gray Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the center is in a village called Jufurate. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Reign supreme.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Southbound 55 at Loughborough, there's road construction going on there. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler and 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Staffington and Marshall, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 from Wylack to West Forest, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason, heavy volume going on there. All your approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge are stacked at this hour, as well as Martin Luther King Bridge from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume going on. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some may be heavy and damaging winds may occur this afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms continue with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy with chance for scattered showers, high in the mid-80s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 68 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call, St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This Friday, the Wake Up Call is presenting a special 3-hour program dedicated to issues affecting those who served in the military. During the 7 o'clock hour, several local veterans talk about problems they encountered when they left the service and still have never had resolved. Plus, Michael Payne, a retired Air Force veteran who worked through his own post-traumatic stress issues and now counsels troubled vets, will be with us to talk about the new challenges the Iraq and Afghan conflicts are presenting to our soldiers. At 7, author Penny Coleman joins Liz to discuss her book on post-traumatic stress called Flashback and examines how PTSD affects not only soldiers, but also their families. Her own husband committed suicide due to PTSD issues. Then at 9, Liz is joined by retired Navy Captain Lori Manning for a perspective of military service from a female point of view. Plus, journalist Larry Scott brings leads for resources veterans can turn to for help. A powerful and moving edition of The Wake Up Call, this Friday morning from 7 until 10.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Kaylin Dixon. Call you from McLean School, second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just love it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Redignancy ranks supreme. Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, let's get to this other issue in the district that is just, I'm getting so many calls about, I'm getting so many emails about, people are stopping me on the street to talk about this. Last school board meeting, you all voted for the reconstitution of the district, right? Of some of the schools.
Right. We reconstituted, last school board meeting, we voted to reconstitute three high schools.
Okay.
Sumner, Vashon, and Roosevelt.
Okay. And what was your expectation of that? I mean, did you have a sense of, or did you get any direction from Craig Williams about how this was going to work? What were the plans? I mean, because this seems to be a familiar theme of our conversation. What's the plan? Where's the written down plan? Where's the guy showing his expertise? Where is that? What was the plan with this?
We had, I'd say, a several slide PowerPoint presentation on this.
Roberti-esque.
Yes. And one of the slides was looking at the different options for reconstituting the schools.
Mm-hmm.
One option was replacing the principal and most of the teachers. Another option was making it a charter school. And there were five or six options. But the last option, the option that he said he was recommending, was involved changing the grade configuration. Mm-hmm. So these all will be 10 through 12 schools instead of 9 through 12. And changing the curriculum. They all will have a combined academic and career focus instead of just being a comprehensive academic school. So that seemed to be an alternative to, for example, firing everybody or to giving it to a charter school company to manage. And we have approved that, and I recall school board member Bill Purdy in particular pointing out that this was a better alternative than some of these others that he presented.
And one of the other alternatives was firing everybody and starting over again, right?
Right.
So what happened? So what has happened?
Fast forward to Tuesday.
Two weeks.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess Monday or Tuesday this week, and I got emails last night about this as well. Apparently, all the teachers at those schools were given notices that they're fired at the end of this week.
But that wasn't what you all gave.
And they can reapply for new jobs in the district, but they're terminated. They aren't being transferred. You know, there isn't a transfer.
They're not being put on hold. They've been fired. Now, that was not an option that you all approved, was it?
That was not the option we approved.
Craig Williams said what he was going to do, right?
Right. We thought what we were doing was an alternative to that option.
I got several phone calls from distraught teachers saying, "Oh my God, I've been fired. I've been fired from my job." Now, one of the things that this administrator, that Craig Williams has talked about and has gone to the press about, when he uses the press to promote his issues, I've been sensing and feeling a whole lot of the new energy is attack the teachers. Go after the teachers. We're going to say what's wrong with the teachers. Archibald doesn't have to show up for school board meetings. But we're going to talk about teachers. So it's felt like that this is what this energy has been. So my concern is that, okay, if we're going to talk about teachers, how does it help a district? How does it help the reconstitution of a school when we destroy it like this, when we take away all of the teachers? What kind of future do we have in terms of stability for the kids, stability for the program, stability for the ideas or the energy of that school?
Well, I think those are very good questions, and I think the students, the kids, are being lost in this, because the kids can't learn without teachers. And to just for school to work, you have to have the teachers want to make it work.
Right.
For a curriculum or a program to work, the teachers have to want to make it work. So if you look around the country, and a lot of studies have been done at where small high schools are successful and where they aren't. And one of the things that separates successful small high schools from those that have been failing are the transition of small high schools, the successful ones, are the teachers are involved early on. They're involved in creating the high school. They continue with their jobs because they buy into the program.
And that has been the missing element since Slay's majority took over this board. That's been the missing element since Roberti came on board. And then the succession of other people that we've had running the district has been, it's always been like a bunker mentality at administration, that it's them against us. There's been no effort to bring in parents. There's been no effort to bring in children. There's been no effort to bring in teachers. It's, we're going to dictate to you about how things are going to happen, and you all are simply going to take it because this is what we're being told. That's what this seems like right now. If you're going to have something that we've never had before, this whole new reconstituted school, don't you want some people that are on your side to help with the success of this reconstitution? And you don't get friends when you tell people, you stress people out. And even if these teachers are all hired again, why would you send people through this nonsense and stress them out and make them feel this way for no reason at all?
Oh, absolutely. There has been talk at the board. As Craig Williams has talked at a couple meetings, that he has the power to assign teachers wherever he wants. Mm-hmm. He has the power to reassign teachers. You know, I know the union would argue that. Fine, they meet, they argue, whatever. But reassigning teachers is different from, you know, that's a different process than fire everybody and then you can reapply.
That's exactly
like I said,
right.
It's hugely different. And people should understand that the reconstituting these high schools is not a sudden thing. It's not, oh, we have to hurry up and do this, so we have to do this so we can find the teachers that work. This process began under Cleveland Hammonds.
Mm.
He set up a committee to look at how to restructure the high schools while he was superintendent. Roberti came in, and there was a presentation of the board under Roberti, in which the board approved the plan, approved this committee moving ahead with its work to design small high schools for St. Louis. And they moved ahead under Roberti, they moved ahead under Floyd Cruz, they moved ahead under Pamela Hughes. And what it is they finally, after 4 or 5 years of work,
and four
they
or five
completed their plan under Craig Williams. So this is something that was well underway, well before Craig Williams came here.
So the teachers and everybody that's there, they're all on board with this. It's not like you've got to go and find teachers throughout the district to assist in the reconstitution of these schools, because these teachers and these administrators for these schools have been doing this for a number of years.
They've been doing it.
They are the experts.
Right. They're the ones who have been pushing the idea for small high schools, not the superintendents.
Mm.
Right? But it makes you wonder, the way that... Yeah, so the plan's been going on. Craig Williams, the job left to him, is implementing this plan, right? And you have to wonder about the implementation and how it relates to what's going on before. If the first act, the first act was getting board approval. The second act is to fire all the teachers.
No, the first act was to lie to the board about what you were going to do. Okay, I mean, that's the first act. If you're going to misrepresent to the board that this is what I want you to do, and then when you get it, you do something completely different, that's outrageous. We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We will be back after this. Stay with us.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCree School, second grade, from 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Cruiser Kitty knows his roots. His mother name is Dita, and his father name is Amaru. Kids
ahead,
dignity.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This Friday, the Wake Up Call is presenting a special 3-hour program dedicated to issues affecting those who served in the military. During the 7 o'clock hour, several local veterans talk about problems they encountered when they left the service and still have never had resolved. Plus, Michael Payne, a retired Air Force veteran who worked through his own post-traumatic stress issues and now counsels troubled vets, will be with us to talk about the new challenges the Iraq and Afghan conflicts are presenting to our soldiers. At 7, author Penny Coleman joins Liz to discuss her book on post-traumatic stress called Flashback, and examines how PTSD affects not only soldiers, but also their families. Her own husband committed suicide due to PTSD issues. Then at 9, Liz is joined by retired Navy Captain Lori Manning for a perspective of military service from a female point of view. Plus, journalist Larry Scott brings leads for resources veterans can turn to for help. A powerful and moving edition of The Wake Up Call, this Friday morning from 7 until 10. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else?
Oh, where else, where else, where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, big-screen televisions, little-screen DVD players, tools. How about a tractor? How about a lawnmower? You want to do some really new, neat stuff in your house? You want the top line? You want the high-end? You want the amazing new stuff? Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right, Union and Natural Bridge. Great customer service, great location, and great prices. I'm Liz Brown. Tell them I told you to.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memory.
Can you still become a hero at work? Yes. Is it still easy? You bet. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner each week and deliver a basket of goodies to the winning workplace. You have to hurry, though. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees and family of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU new workplace hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Casey Marshall calling you from Laclede School, room 209. Miss Liz, I love that African necklace I wore to Red Lobster. I wish I could go to... I wish I could go...
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter, we were talking off the air about something that we had talked about on the air last week, this whole two-track system and that was such a dismal failure, and we were talking about it coming back to the St. Louis Public Schools. Has something else happened in the district that we need to have a heads up on with regard to that?
Well, there was, I guess you could say, this year to graduate, there was a second track introduced at Gateway High, I guess you could say. Gateway Institute of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And was set up with a higher graduation requirements than the other high schools in St. Louis. So students needed 28 credit hours to graduate from Gateway. They'd have a certain number of hours in whatever their focus or major was. And the rest of the schools, it's 24 credit hours, I
mm-hmm.
believe. So this year, really just 2-3 weeks ago.
Under Craig Williams,
the direction came down, any student who meets the minimum district requirements to graduate will be graduated. And so they created a new diploma, you know, a new focus, kind of general studies or something, to graduate those students who did not meet the graduation requirements of the school, but met the minimum district requirements.
So we have this wonderful school that's in the district that says, okay, that's what the state standards are, but we want our standards to be higher than that. Craig Williams came in and said, bump that. Whatever you got, if it's enough to graduate, you're graduating.
If it's enough to get them out, get them out.
And talk to us about MATEP, because this is another thing that is just that it's nonsensical to me. MATEP is no longer going to be with us, right?
Well, MATEP Washington is no longer going to be with us. That was the school for young ladies who are pregnant or mm-hmm. had children.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended the graduation last week, and I was really, really impressed. The principal said every one of their graduating students has a Pell Grant to attend college.
Shut up.
A couple of them have full four-year rides. He said the average, you know, there are different amounts of scholarships, but you average it out over the graduates, and I think she said it was $45,000 in scholarships was the average.
And Craig Williams is eliminating
and
this?
And that program is being eliminated. He says the pregnant girls, young ladies with children will stay in their own schools. And the concern, of course, is that they'll fall through the cracks there.
Well, yeah.
You know, that the counselors in a regular high school with 500,000, 800,000 kids don't have the specialized knowledge and the services that are available for young women who are raising children.
And MATEP is a success story. Gateway is raising the standards, and both of those have been eliminated. And the teachers have been fired from Roosevelt. They've been fired from Vashon.
And Sumner.
They've been fired.
Yeah, and we started out talking about Metro. So this is our high school show.
This 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to us. Ken.
Yeah.
Quickly,
in 1949, I graduated from St. Louis Public School, and they were number one in the whole nation.
Mm. All right. Thank you, Ken.
Henry W. Ames, 1313 Hebert Street.
All right. Now, thank you, Ken. That is the concern of everybody. They want the schools to be brought up to or taken back to what our public schools have done, right?
That is the concern. Most of you hear it again and again. These were the top schools in the country. We want them to be the top schools again.
And Metro just graduated a merit scholar. They just announced that there was a merit scholar that came out of Metro, and yet and still we're seeing the actions of this administration, this superintendent, stuffing Metro like a sausage and putting all kinds of students in there without ever having stepped a foot in the high school. That's just unbelievable to me. What's going on with Roosevelt? Last night there was a meeting at Roosevelt, right?
No, Cleveland.
I'm sorry, Cleveland.
Cleveland. Last night there was a public hearing.
An emergency, less than 24-hour notice public hearing?
Just barely more than 24
okay,
hours, 24 but we won't
hours
quibble over
and,
that.
And 1 minute.
It was too little.
Okay.
I think we all agree that it was too little.
Who called this meeting?
I'm not entirely sure. I understand the meeting was scheduled, but Veronica O'Brien, president of the board, worked with Craig Williams, superintendent, to set up the meeting, to have the meeting scheduled.
With barely 24-hour notice on this issue. And I thought that the meeting was set for another day. Didn't we already have another day for the Roosevelt meeting? I mean, for the Cleveland meeting?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, so what happened at the meeting last night? A lot of people show up?
120, 140 people showed
imagine
up.
Imagine if they had had 2 days' worth of notice.
Well, one of the speakers said that. Said
uh-huh.
if we had a week's notice, it would have been full. The auditorium would have been full. But yeah, 120, 140 people, probably about 30 of them got up to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say 28 of them are saying, move the students to another facility now because this is unhealthy, and then repair this one and reopen it and move the students back.
Mm-hmm. And what did Craig Williams say?
Nothing. I mean, as a board and Craig Williams there, as a minority of the board, we didn't have a quorum for the meeting. There were just three board members there.
Okay.
We listened to the comments, and mm-hmm. that was the whole point, was to listen to public comments.
And where is the direction of, what is the direction of Craig Williams on this, with insofar as...
Well, what he had previously said to the board at a board meeting was that he was not going to recommend repairs to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Lord only knows what's going to happen now that summer school is going to be starting next time I see you.
Right, and there's supposed to be summer school at Cleveland.
Yeah. Supposed to be
so unhealthy.
Shut up.
Yeah, they scheduled Cleveland as a summer school site. That's what they announced Thursday at a parent meeting.
Oh, Peter, well, I guess we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Listen, folks, I'll be back same in the next hour. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, below me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. So how much TV is your child watching? Chances are it's too much. More from ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
The television as babysitter. A random telephone survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation shows one kid in every five less than 2 years old has their own TV in their bedroom. A third of children less than six live in homes where the tube is on almost all of the time. Many of their parents encourage early age TV watching to give the grown-ups time to do other things. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
President Bush heads to Pottstown, Pennsylvania today. He'll visit a nuclear power plant to talk about alternatives to gas and oil. Mr. Bush says nukes are the best option. Meanwhile, with the prices at the pumps hovering around $3 a gallon, Allstate Insurance Company wanted to give good drivers a break. It's offering free fill-ups today to customers in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The company rated the city the nation's safest, and it couldn't come at a better time for this man.
I had to help pay for my grandpa's funeral, so getting all the help I can get.
GM is also trying to sweeten the deal for prospective customers. ABC's Michael Barr.
GM says it will cap gas prices at $1.99 per gallon for new vehicle customers in two states. In California, the offer is good for the 2006 and 2007 Chevrolet Impala and Monte Carlo. Other sedans include the Pontiac Grand Prix and Buick LaCrosse. Many gas-guzzling SUV models are also involved. In Florida, only the sedans are eligible. Customers also have to enroll in the OnStar Vehicle Diagnostic Service. The gas incentive offer is good from May 25th through July 5th. Michael Barr, ABC News.
The World Health Organization is closely watching a bird flu outbreak in Indonesia. Seven people infected, six dead, some of the members of the same family who have passed the virus from one to another. Two presidential appointees are closer to getting their jobs. Acting FEMA Director David Paulson goes before a Senate committee. The full Senate could vote today on CIA Director nominee General Michael Hayden. ABC News.
This Memorial Day weekend, kick off summer at Lowe's. Between now and Monday, get a $5 mail-in rebate on 1 gallon and $20 on 5 gallons of American Tradition paint. Get a 50-pound bag of Quikrete for $1.98 and free propane exchange with a purchase of any full-size gas grill. Plus, use your Lowe's consumer card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more, now through May 29th. See store for details. This Memorial Day, hurry to Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Announcing the once-in-a-lifetime Toyota Launch Spectacular, featuring the largest debut in Toyota history with the all-new Camry Hybrid, now joining our ultra-efficient hybrid lineup, along with Highlander Hybrid and Prius, America's best-selling hybrid. Of course, there are 16 models in all, and to make room for the new vehicles, there are great deals going on now. But hurry, it all ends soon. Toyota's Launch Spectacular. It's time to move forward. Prius sales based on auto full company total new vehicle registrations for year ending 2005 in the U.S.
They've made them pretty small. In fact, Apple's even put an iPod in your underwear, if you remember. Well, now the company is aiming somewhat lower. Your feet. Here's ABC's Bob Schmidt.
Coming in time for some summer running, the Nike Plus iPod Sports Kit. A sensor fits inside compatible shoes by Nike. It talks to a wireless receiver that plugs into an iPod. As the runner runs, data, including time, distance, pace, and calories burned, are fed to the iPod. The runner gets it on screen or through earphones. There are other goodies, too, including a feature that helps choreograph songs on the iPod for some extra motivation. Bob Schmidt, ABC News, New York.
Now, if they can just get the shoes to run for you. They won't have Paris, after all, at least not this week. The Rolling Stones were supposed to kick off their A Bigger Bang World Tour there. They've postponed the first 15 dates, though, as guitarist Keith Richards recovers from a head injury he got on a recent vacation. The tour instead will begin in July. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This report of WGNU News is brought to you by TomTom. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, a campaign is underway to raise the minimum wage in Missouri. A coalition spearheaded by organized labor launched this effort yesterday to raise the minimum wage to $6.50 per hour from the current rate of $5.15, with yearly increases for inflation. Bob Soutier, the president of the Greater St. Louis Labor Council, AFL-CIO, says this is necessary.
There's some 43,000 people that are at the minimum wage of $5.15, and they can't survive in these days with the high inflationary rates that we have, that we're seeing, you know, gasoline at $3 a gallon and housing costs being as high as they are.
Organizers collected over 210,000 signatures to put the measure on the November ballot. Elsewhere, Illinois Congressman John Shimkus is seeking to pass legislation that would allow for the conversion of coal to liquid fuel. The Illinois Republican says the U.S. has the largest reserves of coal in the world, which can be used to lessen our dependency on foreign oil. Shimkus says using this technology would be beneficial to Illinois.
So particularly if you're just looking at how Illinois benefits, we have vast coal resources that not only can we use for electricity generation, but now based upon this technology, we can turn into liquid fuels.
Shimkus legislation would extend the existing alternative fuel tax credits for liquid fuel derived from coal. He says without the extension, there'd be no advantage to building more refineries. He notes that a coal-to-liquid refinery takes 5 to 7 years to build and costs $7 billion. And finally, at this hour, a man who killed a bank security guard in 2002 will be put to death. A federal jury recommended the death penalty for Robert Bolden yesterday in the 2002 shooting death of 25-year-old Nathan Lay during an attempted bank robbery at Bank of America on Halls Ferry Circle. Lay's mother, Linda Lay, says she's thankful her son's killer was brought to justice.
On behalf of my son Nathan, I want to thank everyone.
We're one of the few fortunate who know who took our son's life, and for everyone that helped bring the men who did this to him to justice, we can never, ever thank them enough.
Bolden's two accomplices, Dominic Price and Cortez Edwards, have both pleaded guilty and face a sentence of 24 to 28 years in prison. They'll be sentenced in June. Bolden will be officially sentenced on August 25th. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chaser Plus. Northbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom, 270, no problems here. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, slow traffic going on there. Northbound 270 at Sappington, 44, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at Lilac and West Forest, and West Forest, stop-and-go traffic as well. Eastbound 40 from 141 Mason, very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for construction having left lane closed. Westbound 5570 at 203 in the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, look for slow from Laclede's Landing all the way out to the Illinois Bank. And westbound 64 as well as northbound Route 3, look for slow traffic approaching the bridge as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chaser Plus. Do Chaser Plus hangover pills really work? Yes, Chaser absorbs toxins and helps you avoid hangovers. Take it while you drink to help you wake up feeling great. Buy Chaser products at Walgreens, CVS, and GNC stores. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. Storms may be severe with damaging winds this afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy, scattered showers, high in the mid-80s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 67 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 69 under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This Friday, the Wake Up Call is presenting a special 3-hour program dedicated to issues affecting those who served in the military. During the 7 o'clock hour, several local veterans talk about problems they encountered when they left the service and still have never had resolved. Plus, Michael Payne, a retired Air Force veteran who worked through his own post-traumatic stress issues and now counsels troubled vets, will be with us to talk about the new challenges the Iraq and Afghan conflicts are presenting to our soldiers. At 7, author Penny Coleman joins Liz to discuss her book on post-traumatic stress called Flashback and examines how PTSD affects not only soldiers, but also their families. Her own husband committed suicide due to PTSD issues. Then at 9, Liz is joined by retired Navy Captain Lori Manning for a perspective of military service from a female point of view. Plus, journalist Larry Scott brings leads for resources veterans can turn to for help. A powerful and moving edition of The Wake Up Call. This Friday morning from 7 until 10.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memories.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound, but to blow that's the wound made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
tell me, sister. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I'm
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Miss Lindsay, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. Let me talk over here. I was wondering, what happens now that this has happened at Gateway? Wasn't this the same thing that Craig Williams was talking about? He was going to fire everybody this summer last week because somebody got because they was graduating people. See, they tell this lie to the public, but when it's time for graduation, they want so many to graduate and they push them right on out the door.
It's just despicable. It's despicable.
But he wants this lie, and he wants to look bad on the teacher.
Well, and Craig Williams is doing a very masterful job of trashing the teachers and trashing the district, when the fact of the matter is that he's supposed to have the plan. He's supposed to have the direction. And the one thing that I have criticized Craig Williams from the moment that he came here, from starting with his salary, and then starting with his lack of experience, and starting with the fact that he had never been a superintendent anywhere in the country, I began with that criticism. And I said that after this board majority changed, then now is the time for Craig Williams to demonstrate to us whether or not he has the chops to do the job. And now that he does, he can't blame it on Francis Slay. He can't blame it on Civic Progress. It's all the Craig Show right now. And what we're seeing with the Craig Show is extraordinary incompetence. Extraordinary and extraordinarily expensive incompetence.
You know, not only that, this is the time for the parents to go down there and demonstrate every day at that booth.
It's ridiculous.
To try all the teachers for his incompetence.
That's fact.
And the teacher should be suing him.
The teacher should be going nuts. The teacher
should
be going nuts.
Him. He should be sued.
This is
and
awful.
And the union should sue him also. And they should also sue Francis Slay and the woman who was president since she's gone. Sue her for this mess. She needs to be sued.
All right, now, thank you.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Susie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. I have a comment. I have a few friends that work in administration, mm-hmm. and I know several teachers as well. And there was a conversation between one of the downtown people and one of the, one of the school employees the other day, and I overheard one of them make a comment about Craig Williams is having a house built outside of Chicago.
Yeah, that's a rumor that's going around.
He's
going
to be gone by the end of June.
That's what the rumor has, but I don't know if
we can only pray, huh?
Well, I don't know if anybody would ever hire him after what he has done here.
Well, I don't understand this thing about how do they justify this money that they're giving
him?
They can't. Because
they can't.
I saw statistic on another school district, and their superintendent makes like $82,000 a year.
That's fat. This guy makes $300,000. And then let's look at some of the things.
And we have no money.
But let's look at some of the, because some people would say, well, if you pay him all this money and he turns the school district around, then it's worth the money, right? Okay, I don't go with that, but let's just say for the sake of argument that we'll go with that argument. Okay, let's look at the things that he's doing. He's closing down Maida P. Maida P graduated girls this year that have scholarships that are uncompared to anybody else in the district.
Exactly.
He changed the standard at Gateway. Gateway had a higher graduation credit requirement than the state does. He says to Gateway, no, bump that, bring it on down. Then he tells Metro, one of the jewels of the St. Louis Public Schools.
My grandbaby's going to go there.
Okay, well, I'm going to pray for your grandbaby because he took 150 kids to put into a school that he had never even put his feet in before to see if the school had he had all of the documentation in front of him that says that the school can't hold what you're saying that it can hold. And despite all of that, despite the fact that he never walked into Metro, he sent out notices to 150 students, congratulations, you're going to Metro.
Okay, now, I have a question about that. If they have now required 8th graders to audition for admittance into Central Performing Arts, what's the criteria for children being admitted to Metro?
None. He's eliminated the standards.
Oh, my God.
He's eliminated the standards.
You know, he seems like he's just an extension of Roberti.
He's worse.
You know, Roberti
he's worse
is still
Roberti.
Working his program, and he's not here anymore.
He's worse than Roberti. He's worse than Roberti from the perspective of the fact that he's a man of African descent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's worse than Roberti because he's doing this to people that look like him.
And another thing is that both of those men were paid exorbitant amounts of money, and neither of them were qualified to do the job that they were hired for. They had no experience.
That's the legacy. That's the legacy of Francis Slay. That's the legacy of Darnetta Klingsdale Shamel. That's the legacy of Shamel. That's the legacy of...
God bless her, she gone.
Okay, God bless her, she gone. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Liz. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How long is the term for Craig Williams, and can he be recalled?
Well, we have to have the votes. It's not a recall, just fired. I mean, when his contract comes up for renewal, then you don't renew the contract, or you can vote to fire him.
Okay, so
and we don't have the votes on the board right now to get that done.
Oh, boy. So what about his... Okay, when is his term ended?
I don't know when his contract expires. I don't know when that is. But here's the thing, Kathy. The thing that everybody should be putting in their mind right now, we need two more school board members because there's an election coming up next April for Bob Archibald's seat and Ron Jackson's seat. We need two people that we need to be. It's not a long way away in the world of politics, not a long way at all. So we need people right now that are going to be running for those seats. We need two people right now to run for those seats so we can have the majority to do what we need to do. Okay? That's what everybody needs to be thinking about right now. Who can we put on the school board? Okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Victoria.
Yeah, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to talk to you again. I just wanted to make a comment about the closings. I don't really think it was necessary for him to let children to go into Metro and ruin the track records that they have right now. And some of the students that from the overcrowding, they should be facilitated at schools like Soldan. Those students need to be going to those schools, and when the West Side still has no high school, and that's very upsetting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a niece who just graduated from Meet a P. She's a model and was on the cover of Time back in the early 90s. And she is a very, very bright young lady, and without Meet a P., I don't know if she would have had the courage to continue.
There you go.
And I just saw the other day, Sunday, when I was coming home from work, some kids driving down the street on Natural Bridge after the so-called parade, and they had toilet paper flying out of the windows. And I asked somebody else, I said, what do you think that means? I said, well, they said they didn't know. I said, well, I think it means they're telling Mayor Slay to kiss their behinds. And because they actually moved the parade downtown, which I didn't think was a good idea.
It's a horrible idea.
It was a horrible idea. And this guy that's getting all the flack about being an alcoholic, there have been alcoholics in the public schools for years and
years.
I have seen whites and blacks,
Victoria,
when I worked in the assistant superintendent's office,
Victoria, taken out
of the school.
Victoria, one second.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. There's an alcoholic sitting in the White House.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, there are programs for them, but they don't need to be exploited on television. And now you're getting conflicting stories on the news of what he actually did. And some parent is standing there saying he fondled himself. The newscaster is saying he fondled the child. So this man's name and everything will be besmirched because he's an alcoholic and he has a disease.
He has a disease, and there's an alcoholic sitting in the White House right now.
Yes, there is. And they're everywhere. I've seen him in the system since I've been there. If they get treated, that's good, and that's what he needs. He doesn't need to be fired. He needs to be treated. But if he has done something wrong to a child, yes, he does need to be let go.
All right.
But they need to prove that, not play it out in the press like this.
Thanks for your call. You're absolutely right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up and get to me. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I heard your first piece this morning on the Pentagon crash, and I was wondering, did you know the history? I didn't hear whether you mentioned the history of Mr. Olson as the 2000 election.
Oh, that he was one of the architects of the stealing of the election?
Yeah, he argued it in the Supreme
Court. That's right. That's right. That's
so
right.
I didn't hear you mention that, but I just remembered him from that because when I heard about his wife when it happened on 9/11, I said, well, Dad, he's the one that argued for President Bush to get in the first place.
But also, if we all need to open up our mental Rolodexes and pull out that part that says when he was addressing the Supreme Court, Theodore Olson said, and I quote, "It's easy to imagine an infinite number of situations where government officials might quite legitimately have reasons to give false information out.
Say what?
Did you hear what I just said?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
He said that in front of the Supreme Court. Let me just say it one more time for those of y'all that just got the end of it. Theater, and understand, he was a U.S. solicitor. He's an attorney. He's an attorney, the attorney. He said, quote, "It is easy to imagine an infinite number of situations where government officials might quite legitimately have reasons to give false information out." He said there are an infinite number of situations where the government needs to lie.
Well, they've been finding plenty of situations to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And he also argued for Clinton's impeachment.
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Yes, he did. Now, just get him to argue for Bush's.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. That's right. That's right. This is the man whose wife started the stories. And somebody asked the question about the phone call. Remember, his wife supposedly made two phone calls on her cell phone right before the Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon. Check this out. Let me just check this out. Doesn't it cost money to make a phone call from a plane? Doesn't it cost money? And did his wife have a credit card with her when she supposedly made this phone call? And was the plane equipped with the type of phones that would allow her to make this kind of phone call? Huh. And all we have to do to prove that is to get a copy of the records, the phone records, showing that she had, in fact, made a phone call on a cell phone to her husband. Huh. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't we also have to ask the question of whether or not a phone could be used in the circumstances in which that plane was flying. Check it out. American Airlines requires a $2.50 setup charge before you can use a phone on their from their plane. And it can only be paid by credit card. Sometimes it's they charge $5 per minute of speech thereafter. Without paying for an advance by swiping your credit cards, you cannot access the external telephone network. So, and Olson said that his wife didn't have any credit cards with her. Huh. 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 All we have to do is subpoena the telephone company. No. Given what they've been doing, they should already have a record of her stuff. The way they've been spying on all of us, they should already have a record of her phone call. Since they've been spying practically from the moment that they got in here. Shouldn't we be asking these questions? Shouldn't we be asking these questions? She was using the phone in the passenger seat. That's what Ted Olson say. I guess she didn't have her purse because she was calling collect and she was trying to get through the Department of Justice, which is never easy. She wanted to know, what can I tell the pilot? What can I do? What can I do to stop this? So we're to believe that everybody had been ushered to the back of the plane. And everybody thought they were going to die, and apparently everybody had the opportunity to make some phone calls. Don't you think there might have been a fight or two over who got to use the remaining phones? if you're in the back of a plane, and what hijacker would let you make a phone call? Get your credit card out. I mean, I've seen the movie with Wesley Snipes. I've seen it with his cute little self. I've seen that movie where he was in there with Halle Berry and he used his credit card and all that. But that is, what do they call that? Fiction. The fact of the matter is, how on earth was she able to use a phone from the plane? And the only answer is that she wasn't. The hijackers herded them to the back of the plane, and she's calling her husband to ask the question, what should I tell the pilot? What are they asking for your advice? I don't think anybody in the cockpit was asking for anybody of what should be done. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're taking a break. I'll be back. Stay with me. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's the number. That's the number. That's the number. Stay with me.
You let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah.
Morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 70 at 5th Street and 94, look for an accident on the right shoulder and traffic is slowing near the bridge. 44 on either side of 109, look for all traffic to be switched to eastbound lanes due to road construction. There's two lanes open in each direction. Eastbound 40 at Merrimack River Bridge, 44 at Merrimack River Bridge and 270. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. Look for slow traffic northbound 270 at Gravois and 44. Heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 between Lilac and West Florissant. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 at the Poplar Street Bridge is road construction. The left lane is closed. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 44 at Arsenal and Jameson. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 70 at O'Fallon Park is closed due to road construction. And westbound 5570, westbound 64, and northbound Route 3 under the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stacked up this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Look for very heavy volume. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery, set for life, 6 new instant games, $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some storms may be severe with damaging winds. The high in the mid-80s this evening. Showers and thunderstorms to continue. Low in the upper 60s. Thursday, partly cloudy skies. Showers with a high in the mid-80s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920. WGNU, we have 67 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 69. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning. Dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, big-screen television, little-screen DVD players. How about high-end refrigerators? How about high-end, state-of-the-art, really super, super slick stoves? Get on down to Sears. Get on down to Sears. Best quality, best location, best prices. Come on, get on over to Sears. I'm Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Looks like Six Flags St. Louis is kicking off its best season ever with their 45th anniversary and the largest expansion in park history. And here with us on the phone right now, the one and only Tasmanian Dipple. Taz. Taz, you there? Yeah, Taz, it's a pleasure to speak to you, too. That wife's doing great. Listen, we've heard so much about the expansion. Tell us about it. So, you've got the all-new Superman Tower of Power, the Bugs Bunny National Park, and the Justice League superheroes? And it's all part of the 45th anniversary, which has shows, nightly parades, and a laser light show? Wow, that's a lot, considering you've already got some of the world's most amazing rides and family entertainment. Is there anything else? Six Flags is what? Oh, I see. Six Flags is more than a theme park. It's an experience. And get discount tickets at SixFlags.com.
This is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This Friday, the Wake Up Call is presenting a special three-hour program dedicated to issues affecting those who served in the military. During the 7 o'clock hour, several local veterans talk about problems they encountered when they left the service and still have never had resolved. Plus, Michael Payne, a retired Air Force veteran who worked through his own post-traumatic stress issues and now counsels troubled vets, will be with us to talk about the new challenges the Iraq and Afghan conflicts are presenting to our soldiers. At 7, author Penny Coleman joins Liz to discuss her book on post-traumatic stress called Flashback, and examines how PTSD affects not only soldiers, but also their families. Her own husband committed suicide due to PTSD issues. Then at 9, Liz is joined by retired Navy Captain Lori Manning for a perspective of military service from a female point of view. Plus, journalist Larry Scott brings leads for resources veterans can turn to for help. A powerful and moving edition of The Wake Up Call, this Friday morning from 7 until 10.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. I'm sorry, I've got to stay on this for a minute. I've got to stay on this for a minute, and then I want to work in a couple of other things. I'm looking at this letter that Craig Williams sent teachers on May 22nd. That would be Monday. Dear colleague, we regret to inform you that on May 26th, now these are teachers that are working at Vashon, teachers that are working at Roosevelt, and I think there's one more school where they were working. We regret to inform you that your assignment in your current location will end. This decision is made due to school closing, restructuring, and reconstitution of certain schools and certain grade reorganizations. However, many vacant positions will exist throughout the St. Louis Public School District, and we strongly encourage you to apply for one of them. The number of teaching positions for next year, only those teachers with the least seniority will be displaced. You will be eligible to receive unemployment insurance compensation and will be able to purchase medical benefits through COBRA. Warmest regards, Craig Williams, superintendent. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. This is the guy that makes $300,000 a year. And he was so dishonest to the board. So dishonest to the board. He lied. He lied at worst, misrepresented at best. And this raises a question of whether or not they should give him. This is George Bush-ish. Let's even bump Roberti. This is George Bush-ish. Say that. United States House of Representatives, the United States Senate, they pass laws. They're legislators. They pass laws. Bills get passed, right? And they go before George Bush to sign. He signs them. But then he has this little assigning agreement thing that he changes the content of the bill that's been passed. Signing agreement. This is what Craig Williams is doing. The board gave him the authority for the reconstitution of schools, and he uses it as an opportunity to do something completely different and not what the board would have agreed to do to begin with. There is an inherent dishonesty. There is a bait and switch mentality. And then there is the serious and consistent incompetency of Craig Williams. And we're paying him $300,000. That's $25,000 a month, boys and girls. The battle's not over, y'all. The teachers' union should be losing their ever-loving mind over this. The teachers' union should be losing their ever-loving mind over this. And y'all should be clowning. This is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. This is outrageous. This is so outrageous. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Christine.
And welcome back. We're so glad you're back.
They kicked me out. They didn't want me on any jury in the city of St. Louis. They're like, what are you, nuts? No, we don't want her on the jury. I even, you know, it's like, okay, I went with Elizabeth. I didn't even say Liz, you know, hoping that nobody would pay attention. But no, they found me. And they said, go home.
Well, their loss is our gain.
All right.
So I wanted to say that I heard Craig Williams make a statement to the media, and he said that Vashon was corrupt and that he was going to clean house.
Well, then I guess he should start with, shouldn't he start with the coach? I mean, didn't we have all of that malfeasance about the money that was spent down there? Shouldn't we?
That's just like, that's the way he flip-flops. He tells you one thing, and then he goes behind your back.
Floyd Irons. Let's go after Floyd Irons. If we're going to talk about corruption, if we're going to talk about money, if we're going to talk about charges, let's roll with it. Let's roll with your boy, Floyd, who you hang out with at restaurants and go to dinner with. Let's start with him.
Well, that's not going to happen. It's all talk because, first of all, I've never heard anyone, I don't care what kind of problems they've been having at Vashon, to say that the whole school is corrupt.
Well, I think that that's going to be his new mantra. I think he's going to start calling everybody corrupt. Now, remember, this is the dude that gets paid $300,000, $25,000 a month for a job he's not qualified for, didn't have the degree for. And now he's going to call other folks corrupt. Ain't that some stuff?
And $300,000 plus, he has other perks.
That's correct.
At $300,000.
We are paying security guard salaries to drive his $300,000 behind around.
That's astronomical. $300,000 a year.
Yes, it is.
No experience in running this school district, something as large as the St. Louis Public School.
He makes a decision to stuff Metro School with 150 entering class of freshmen, a school that he never went to see if the school could hold it. In fact, all of the documentation in front of him said the school could not accommodate this. He said, so what? I guess he doesn't know how to do numbers either.
And to close out a school as important as a school where pregnant teens go.
That's right. And a successful school. And to say that Gateway, who raised their standards for graduation requirements, to lower that standard is just obscene. It's an obscenity.
And you know, so much has happened since he's been in charge. We've never had, at least I've never heard, of a little girl child, being molested on school grounds by a number of boys. I've never heard of anything like that happening before.
I'm not clear of what happened with that. I think it had more to do with bullying than the whole sexual component of it. In fact, most of the psychiatrists and folks that they talked to about that said that this sounds more like bullying than anything else. But what it does represent is an inattentiveness of the teacher at that particular school. You can't stop there. You have to go up the line. The buck stops at the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
This
That's
is a
right.
school that has had bullying issues since he's been here. And he's done nothing to deal with that. Absolutely nothing to deal with. So it's going to get worse if he doesn't do anything. So that the fault of that lies with Craig Williams. If little children are being bullied, if little girls are being assaulted, if little boys are allowed to develop this type of behavior, it's because the superintendent has not been doing his job. He gets paid $300,000 a year. He should be at every school at least two or three times a month. Every school at least two or three times a month. Got to roll.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Stay with me.
Ooh, like a butterfly. I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they won't bring me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it. Lord, I can take it. I'm
time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Tuesday morning on The Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memories.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, then go do the right thing.
Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by-night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200.
Hi, I'm John Womack. I'm the host of On the Table, a program about food and wine and enjoying yourself every Tuesday at noon. So tune in here on WGNU 920 AM.
Zone. AutoZone.
A car is a big investment, so get to AutoZone for everything you need to protect your car and make it look great. AutoZone has the brands you want at great prices, like Black Magic Tire Web for a long-lasting extreme shine with no wiping, and Black Magic Pro Shine Protectant, now with Fade Block UV Blocker. Your choice, only $4.99. Give your car the protection it deserves. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you
this Friday, The Wake Up Call is presenting a special 3-hour program dedicated to issues affecting those who served in the military. During the 7 o'clock hour, several local veterans talk about problems they encountered when they left the service and still have never had resolved. Plus, Michael Payne, a retired Air Force veteran who worked through his own post-traumatic stress issues and now counsels troubled vets, will be with us to talk about the new challenges the Iraq and Afghan conflicts are presenting to our soldiers. At 7, author Penny Coleman joins Liz to discuss her book on post-traumatic stress called Flashback and examines how PTSD affects not only soldiers, but also their families. Her own husband committed suicide due to PTSD issues. Then at 9, Liz is joined by retired Navy Captain Lori Manning for a perspective of military service from a female point of view. Plus, journalist Larry Scott brings leads for resources veterans can turn to for help. A powerful and moving edition of The Wake Up Call. This Friday morning from 7 until 10.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I think it matters. The reason why we spend so much time on the show talking about education and connecting the dots of education, it's because it defines us. And the beginning of education, our elementary, our preschool, our kindergarten, our elementary, our middle school, our junior high schools, our high schools, help carve out who we are going to be. There was a Tufts University senior, Negar Razavini. He turned down two job offers from nonprofit organizations because the agencies were partially funded by the Bush administration. And she does not agree with Bush's policies in Iraq and Iran. Wheaton College senior Thomas Watson is looking for a nonprofit job that would allow him to work with city children. He doesn't care how much he's going to be paid as long as he feels that he's making a difference. There is a new campaign. It's called the Graduation Pledge Alliance. And it's going from college campus to college campus asking seniors to sign a contract pledging to consider the social and the environmental implications of any job offer in the weeks leading up to graduation. The contract states, and I quote, "I pledge to explore and take into account the social and environmental consequences of any job I consider, and I will try to improve these aspects of any organization for which I work." How profound. How beautiful. I want to consider the impact of what I do on the world. I want my life and my work and my things to matter. Education leads us to this. Good education leads us to that place, or allows us to embrace that if it is brought to us. That is why what is happening at the St. Louis Public Schools is so profoundly wicked. Craig Williams, who makes $300,000 a year, $25,000 a month, and he has been unshackled from the whips and the chains of the Slay administration with the election of this last board. He's been unshackled. He's free. And yet and still you see him sending out letters to teachers, firing teachers in the city of St. Louis. We'll have teachers. We don't have enough teachers. He's firing teachers. You say we don't have enough teachers, and you're firing teachers. You say we have too many substitute teachers, and you're firing teachers. Outrageous. Indefensible. And not only that, he is an incompetent. He can't count. He doesn't know how many students are in a class, in a school, and doesn't really care. He's overcrowded Metro. Either you're an incompetent or you're evil. You pick. What, are you trying to trash Metro so that nobody will ever want to go to Metro? Or you're so incompetent that you can't count? You're closing down Maida P. Maida P works. Babies have gotten scholarships there that babies haven't gotten any other place. We need a Maida P. You have meetings about closing down Cleveland where you barely give the parents 24 hours notice. Oh, you're not interested in conversations. And we're paying you $25,000 a month for your incompetence and or your evil. That's money we could spend someplace else. Lloyd.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, Liz.
Yes.
If Craig Williams is not the man for the job, what do the people do to get him out of there?
What has to happen is the school board has to vote to either end his contract, or when his contract comes up for renewal, they have to say, we're not going to renew your contract.
Okay.
And we as the citizens have to put the pressure on the board to do that. We need people. There's going to be two board seats up for election in April.
Okay.
We need two strong people for those positions.
Okay.
Period. Dot. To give us the majority that we need.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. We've got another good hour coming at you. Stay with me.
Revolution in the air. I think it's time we're in revolution. It is time for us
King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's a low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Gas prices still hovering around $3 a gallon, and more people are making big changes in order to keep the cars filled. Some are skipping the summer vacation. Others are trading in their SUV for a more fuel-efficient vehicle. Officials in one state now are telling us, though, that big oil is behind it more than it admits. ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross.
In Connecticut, something called zone pricing. This happens in every state, but states are divided into invisible zones. We don't know where they are. They actually divide neighborhoods. And we found gas prices ranging a difference of 40 cents a gallon within a mile, a six-tenths of a mile.
Oil companies say the price actually keeps prices lower, but Connecticut's attorney general says it really means gas stations can't lower prices even if they want to. A huge fire is still burning out of control at the airport in Istanbul, Turkey.
A huge orange fireball and black billowing smoke can be seen engulfing the two-story cargo building. The fire has closed Istanbul's main airport, and the only planes flying are those bombing the fire with water from the air. Hundreds of panicked people could be seen fleeing, and there are fears that workers could be trapped inside. Occasionally, explosions are heard, and there is speculation chemicals may have been stored within that facility.
ABC's Linda Albin in London. The CIA has confirmed that is Osama bin Laden on an audio tape that aired yesterday online. The al-Qaeda leader said Zakarias Moussaoui, the only person convicted in the U.S. in the September 11th attacks, actually had nothing to do with the bombings. The full Senate could vote today or tomorrow on General Michael Hayden, President's choice to run the CIA. A Senate committee, meanwhile, takes up acting FEMA director David Paulison's nomination. This, by the way, is the same committee that called for FEMA to be abolished not too long ago. ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 32 points. The Nasdaq is ahead by 14. This is ABC News.
This Memorial Day weekend, kick off summer at Lowe's. Between now and Monday, get a $5 mail-in rebate on 1 gallon and $20 on 5 gallons of American Tradition paint. Get a 50-pound bag of Quikrete for $1.98 and free propane exchange with the purchase of any full-size gas grill. Plus, use your Lowe's consumer card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more, now through May 29th. See store for details. This Memorial Day, hurry to Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Announcing the once-in-a-lifetime Toyota Launch Spectacular. Featuring the largest debut in Toyota history with the all-new Camry Hybrid. Now joining our ultra-efficient hybrid lineup. Along with Highlander Hybrid and Prius, America's best-selling hybrid. Of course, there are 16 models in all. And to make room for the new vehicles, there are great deals going on now. But hurry, it all ends soon. Toyota's Launch Spectacular. It's time to move forward. Prius sales based on Auto Focus Company. Total new vehicle registrations for year ending 2005 in the U.S.
The UN's health agency is worried about an outbreak of the bird flu in Indonesia. The World Health Organization says the deaths are the most important development in the spread of the virus since 2003, and in fact, they may have spread from person to person. She ran away months ago, but a group of volunteers in New York won't accept that a show dog may be gone for good. Here's ABC's Sherry Preston.
They meet in northern Queens every Saturday. At a park, they pick up flyers and find out if there's any new information. They are the Vivi Searchers, the dedicated few still looking for the little dog that bolted from its crate back in February. Most are convinced that Vivi still is alive, killing and eating squirrels somewhere in New York, or maybe even living with a family. One woman says she thinks Vivi will surface as the weather gets warmer because the smell of barbecuing will bring her out. Another says she's frustrated and tired but won't give up until she knows exactly what happened to the wandering whippet. Sherry Preston, ABC News, New York.
And I'm Daria Albinger.
ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This update of WGNU News is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, two St. Louis area projects are on the Missouri Department of Transportation's list of the top 10 work zones to look out for this summer. At number two on the list is I-44 at Route 109, where the interstate is narrowed to two lanes in each direction through Labor Day. At number four is the Poplar Street Bridge, which will see lane closures for resurfacing starting June 9th. The top work zone on MoDOT's list is the I-435 bridge over the Missouri River in Kansas City. Elsewhere, a campaign is underway to raise the minimum wage in Missouri. A coalition spearheaded by organized labor launched the effort yesterday to raise minimum wage to $6.50 per hour from the current rate of $5.15, with yearly increases for inflation. Missouri would join 20 other states, including Arkansas and Illinois, by increasing its minimum wage above the federal minimum if the measure is passed. The Missouri Mental Health Commission will send recommendations to Governor Matt Blunt for improvements at state facilities for the mentally and physically disabled. This comes after the last of six hearings across the state wrapped up in Kansas City yesterday. The hearings were held in response to the deaths of two residents of the Northwest Rehabilitation Center in North County. Illinois Congressman John Shimkus wants to help lessen the United States' dependency on foreign oil. The Illinois Republican yesterday introduced legislation to extend the existing alternative fuel tax credits for liquid fuel derived from coal. The deadline would be extended from September 2009 to December 2020. Shimkus says coal can be converted cleanly into liquid fuel using existing technology, thus lowering our dependency on oil. And finally, the St. Louis Zoo is welcoming a new resident. A baby giraffe was born 6 days ago at the zoo to parents Jesse and Dexter. The newborn is already 5 feet tall and more than 130 pounds. Mother and baby are on display at the zoo's Antelope House. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's Set for Life. Six new instant games. $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 70th, 5th Street, 94. There's an accident on the right shoulder and traffic is slowing near the bridge. Eastbound 70th, Cave Springs. We've got slow traffic as a police escort, a torch run for the Special Olympics. And that traffic is slowing back all the way through 370. I-44 on either side of 109. Look for road construction going on and some lane closures there. Southbound 55 at Loughborough and the River Depair. Look for lane closures as well. Northbound 270 at 44 is returned, turned back to normal. Eastbound 40 at Poplar Street Bridge. You've got road construction. Left lane's closed. Westbound 40 at... And look for road construction. Actually, there's various lane closures due to road construction. So just use caution in those areas. Southbound 270 at 360 at Page. Look for slow traffic. And all your approaches back onto the Poplar Street Bridge have returned back to normal. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurant. Money's tight these days. Good thing you can go get one of four tasty extra value meals like a Big Mac sandwich, medium fry, and medium drink, all for under $4 every day. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today with a high in the mid-80s. This evening, showers and thunderstorms continue. You may see some damaging winds with some of these storms and some possibly some large hail. The low should be in the upper 60s this evening. For Thursday, partly cloudy, scattered showers, high in the mid-80s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have partly cloudy skies and 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 69 and partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This Friday, the Wake Up Call is presenting a special three-hour program dedicated to issues affecting those who served in the military. During the 7 o'clock hour, several local veterans talk about problems they encountered when they left the service and still have never had resolved. Plus, Michael Payne, a retired Air Force veteran who worked through his own post-traumatic stress issues and now counsels troubled vets, will be with us to talk about the new challenges the Iraq and Afghan conflicts are presenting to our soldiers. At 7, author Penny Coleman joins Liz to discuss her book on post-traumatic stress called Flashback and examines how PTSD affects not only soldiers, but also their families. Her own husband committed suicide due to PTSD issues. Then at 9, Liz is joined by retired Navy Captain Lori Manning for a perspective of military service from a female point of view. Plus, journalist Larry Scott brings leads for resources veterans can turn to for help. A powerful and moving edition of The Wake Up Call. This Friday morning from 7 until 10.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back. Hey, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. Will, good morning. Will? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you several questions.
Okay. And if you could speak up a little bit, because you're kind of breaking up on us a little bit.
Okay, the questions I want to ask you was that the first one was, at what point do you think a person should be allowed to move to the next level with no experience?
At what point do I think? You need to frame it a little bit better, because there are all kinds of different circumstances. Make it more specific for me.
Okay, let me say this. most professions, I'm talking about a doctor, a pilot, a nurse,
a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. At some point in their field, they start off with no experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody in the world starts off with no experience in something.
Okay,
gotcha. I'm with you.
Now, I'm asking this in reference to the situation where you're constantly talking about the superintendent coming in with no experience.
Absolutely.
The next thing I want to...
you want to start? Want to start there? Because now that you've framed it for me, I can address your question.
Go ahead.
Okay. At what point should a person be able to start? Well, here, when you're picking a superintendent, you have to look at a number of different things. One of the first things that you have to look at are the needs of your district. What kind of specific needs does your district need? What kind of needs does it have? For instance, do we need somebody that has an expertise in working with teachers and teachers unions? Do we need somebody with expertise on how to enhance and improve the elementary curriculum? Or do we need somebody that has knowledge of how high schools run, because we have some specific needs in our high schools? So first you look at the needs of your district. Then, as everybody does when you decide getting ready to spend some money, you have to look at whether or not you have the money to spend. What is your budget on this? And then you look at, once you've established your needs, once you've established what your budget is, then you put together a team of people that are experts in assessing the needs of your district and assessing the skills and the qualifications of the person that says that they can meet the needs of your district. Then you assemble that team. Now, once you have all three of those things, then you send out the notices for this is what we are looking for this district. And you bring the person in and you see if the person meets those fundamental needs. Now, given the place where the St. Louis Public Schools were at the point where Craig Williams was interviewed for this position, we had a district that had needs in every single level of a district. We had elementary needs. We had curriculum needs. We had high school needs. We had teacher needs. We had a community need, because part of the job of an effective superintendent is their ability to engage in and create relationships with the community, with parents, and with teachers, and with the political atmosphere that they find themselves in. So we needed somebody like that. So when we looked at the people to fit that need, looking at the resume of Craig Williams, all you could say is that he has scant things in his resume that can meet the needs of our district, and he's asking for a whole lot of money. And fundamentally, when you have a district that has such great needs, you really start with the place that at least we want somebody that's had experience in all of these areas. Craig Williams didn't have experience in any of those areas because he had never been a superintendent anywhere in the United States before. Secondly, Craig Williams didn't have the experience for an entire district because the experience that he did have in a school district had largely to do with high schools and not working with teachers' unions and not working with elementary schools and not doing the connection with the community that needs to be done. And finally, the money that Craig Williams was asking for was much more money than a broke district could afford to pay. So the decision to hire Craig Williams missed on every single element that you evaluate on. You don't tell a district that is in such need that we're going to bring in and allow some guy to allow the district to be a petri dish for this guy to experiment in, and to cost us what it costs us is insane. It's an insane decision.
Okay, can I respond to that?
Absolutely.
It seems to me that the problem occurred with the people who hired him.
Mm-hmm.
If a person or if some institution would offer me $300,000 a year, I think I would take it.
Wait a minute. Can we just explore that for a second, please? Because I don't understand that. You would take a job that you didn't know how to do, that you didn't have experience in, because of the money that they would pay you? You would? There's especially a job, we're not talking about digging ditches, we're talking about a job that will impact upon the educational future of children. You take that job, really?
If the people who were doing the hiring.
Really? I wouldn't take it.
Would you let me finish?
I wouldn't take it. Go ahead. Sure.
If the people who did the hiring offered me the opportunity, willing to give me a chance, then I would take it.
I wouldn't take it.
What would I do?
Go right ahead.
If someone offered me that opportunity,
wow,
to try and prove myself, to try to enhance my growth and development, of course I would take it.
I wouldn't. Go ahead.
Okay, let me go to the next thing. The situation that this board of education is in didn't start with Mr. Williams. It didn't start with the previous superintendent, what's the name, Floyd. It didn't start with the other one before him, Jones. This has been a growing problem throughout a number of years.
Actually, it's not, but go ahead.
Okay. The last thing I wanted to address was you were talking about the layoffs of him laying people off.
Wait a minute. That was your response to why the district, that we shouldn't be concerned about him being in this position?
I'm not saying you're not concerned.
Okay, so we shouldn't fix the problem. If somebody said I could do it and it turns out that they clearly that they can't, we're not supposed to do something about this?
Okay, how long is this contract?
His contract is for another 2 years.
Okay, when this contract ends or is about to end,
What's about to end? What does that mean? A month before? A year before?
Whatever length of time that it takes the people to make a decision as to if they would renew his contract or let him go. Whenever they get to that point, then they make that decision.
But in a district where there are children don't have time to wait for 2 years for something to happen when we've already seen what is happening right now.
And that's up to the people who hired him, the one who's in charge.
No, it's up to all of us. It's up to all of us because we pay his salary. This isn't a private company. This is a school district. I live here. I live in the school district. I see what's happening to the children as a result of the decisions that he's making, and it's up to all of us to make that decision, and the decision should be, because he didn't have the experience to come in, because he overrated himself and his ability to do this, he should lose his job. They should take his job from him because our kids don't have the time for the kids to be the learning curve for his inadequacies.
Okay, the next thing I wanted to ask you was in reference to the layoffs. I think that...
No, firings. There's a difference between layoffs and firings.
Okay, layoffs.
Firings.
However way that you want to...
No, it's not about however which way I want. It's what it is.
Okay.
These teachers have been fired.
Okay, now, when people are fired from a job...
Yes.
In order to get fired, whoever's doing the firing should have ample reason as to why they're getting fired. As far as incompetence, it might be a case like this teacher who was called... putting his hands on the student.
Oh, Wait a minute. We don't have to get to a mystery place. I have the copy of the letters that were sent to the teachers.
Okay.
It's not about anybody doing anything dirty to a child behind them. Let's not muddy up the discussion here. They are fired because the district is reconstituting the schools. Period. Dot. That's why they were fired. That's what the letter to them says. We don't need to wonder about it or to speculate about it. I have the copy of the letter in front of me.
Okay, my response to that would be that you are having firings and layoffs.
No, we're not having layoffs. We're having firings. Let's talk about the firings.
Okay, you're having firings throughout the country. You're having firings.
We don't have to leave St. Louis. Wait a minute. Let's not go to New York City. Let's stay right here.
Okay,
We have a superintendent. We have superintendents saying that we don't have enough teachers. We can't hire enough teachers for this school district. We have too many substitute teachers. And yet and still, we have a superintendent that is saying, fire these teachers. That's ridiculous.
Most institutions is operated by some type of budget. If you have positions that you don't have the money to pay for these individuals, they have to go.
Do you understand what you don't understand the full picture? And I got to let you go after this because we spent enough time on this. We've had teachers from three different schools. All of the teachers, all of the principals fired, okay? From Vashon, every single one of them. From Roosevelt, every single one of them. And from a third school, whose name escapes me right now, every single one of them have been fired. Those are schools that have hundreds and hundreds of children in them. So you cannot tell me that we're firing them because we don't have, these are budget considerations. They're being fired in a willy-nilly way by an incompetent superintendent who doesn't know what they're doing, which adds to consistent stress and consistent disorganization and consistent disconnect between the teachers and the administration and the children. That's what is happening in the school. We don't have to go to New York to make any comparisons. That's what's happening in the school district. And one more thing I will add, because if you go to the school board meetings, you would have heard Craig Williams say this to all of our face and in our ears. He said the reason that they were reconstituted, there were four things that they can do. One of them was fire all the teachers, and we're not going to do that. That's what he said. Another thing that we could do is we could start a charter school. And he said, we're not going to do that. And the third thing that we can do is we can reconstitute the schools, and that's what we're going to do. So we have a superintendent that looked us in the face and said to our ears, we're not going to do something, that he turned around and did exactly that. That's a dishonest person, that's an incompetent person, and that's a person that shouldn't get to keep their job.
Can I make one more statement?
Mm-mm. We're going to go. 454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Kevin, good morning.
You know what, Liz? You are so right. It's ridiculous. I don't know why the teachers unions are on strike.
No, they need to. They just found out about this yesterday.
And not come to work. Mm. Have a meeting and not come to work.
Well, school's over tomorrow. That's the problem. School's over tomorrow.
Okay, they should do something.
Well, there's summer school coming up. There's summer school coming up.
You know what? They should have went on strike when he fired the maintenance people.
Mm.
So, but anyway, I'd like to talk about something else that I observed going to school in the public school system. And when I was in the sixth grade, I guess they thought I was mathematically inclined, or I was putting another class, I was putting an algebra class in the sixth grade because of some grades I got in the fifth grade because my father helped me. And I was put in an Excel class, an upper class. I forgot exactly what they called it. And I went from having 25 kids in a class to three.
Made all the difference in the world, didn't it?
I'm not mathematically inclined. I'm the type of person that needs a calculator for everything. And it helped me, it made a world of difference. But what I'm saying is that we need to reverse that. We need to put more resources on the child that's challenged, not on the child that's not challenged. And I don't see they need to be classed. If a child is challenged, he needs three kids in a class.
It's not supposed to be either or. It's not supposed to be either or.
Or even that. The classes need to be smaller.
That is correct.
And no one's talking about that. This man is firing teachers.
That's fact. Firing teachers. Firing teachers. After he said that that's not what he was going to do. He's dishonest, he's a liar, and he also is incompetent. And I don't know of a worse combo.
And I'm telling you, you know what, Liz? I know that the teachers, they came around a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have been cowards for years.
Mm.
And finally they found somebody that just found out they were cowards and took it to them.
Mm.
I mean, they have been watching things occur.
They better rock and roll on this because
they better say we're not showing up.
That's fact.
But
that's
they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is allow them to pick them off one at a time. I've been watching this for the last 44 years I've been in St. Louis.
All right, now. Got to roll. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. TC?
Hey, good morning, young lady.
Good morning.
Listen, you're talking to that first gentleman after you came back off break. It's the reason I love you. This guy, Craig Williams, had no way in the world was qualified to be superintendent.
And he knew better than anybody else. And he knew better than anybody else.
There's no way he was qualified for that job. And I'm tired of people experimenting on our children. But thing that I think you're the only one talking about, and that's interesting also, is this Luther and South situation. If this had been Vashon or maybe even Cardinal Ritter, these so-called law-abiding citizens would be knocking these phones off the hook. Postal staff have been running something every day. Every radio station would be talking about it. Every TV station would be talking about it. But since it's Lutheran South, which is predominantly Caucasian, you don't hear a peep about all this drug dealing. And my understanding, they had every kind of drug you could imagine.
They also had the same thing out in the St. Charles school. They had the King of Coke was a teacher out in St. Charles, in the St. Charles school district a few years ago, back in the during the crack cocaine days. It happens in these schools, but it's all about how the story is told, and it's about,
and the reason they don't tell the story is because of racism. Everything in this country comes down to it. Just been shy. This poem has been knocking off the hook, and only you is the only one I've heard even mention it. And it is amazing. Where are all the law-abiding, I can't say that, but where are all these so-called law-abiding citizens whenever something goes wrong when the people look like me?
All right.
You don't hear a peep out of these folks when little Johnny and little Missy caught with their hand in a cookie jar.
Gotta roll.
It's amazing.
Thanks.
Thank you, young lady.
All right.
Keep on doing what you're doing. I love you.
Thank you. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Grandma's hands used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hands picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she'd say. Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you want a spank?
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening. Every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
We, the believers at El Mukminun Islamic Center, would like to invite and encourage you to join us for our Saturday morning program, Focus on El Islam, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., featuring the son of Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his public addresses and lectures on Islam and values of social well-being to the community of humanity. That's Focus on El Islam, every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on WGNU Radio.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Folks, that's the Sloan Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning. Dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer
would move. Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment just in time to capture perfect summer memories. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Travel and a rough, rough way to go. Said it's a hard road to travel and a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed, my mind's made up. I'll never stop, and my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 4540400 is the phone number. Get to me. Jeannie, good morning.
Hi, I'm enjoying your topic and everything. And you and the last two young men, you're right on the money on it. You are so correct. My cousin has neighbor has a little girl. I think it's a little girl that goes to Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, children are, part of those children, she said, are gone, but they stuck the rest of the kids in another teacher's room where she has a total of 32 or 33 or 34 children.
That's craziness.
First grade room.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? And it's still, and she's a parent, and well, she's not going to send her child back there next year, but it's still happening there. Strange occurrences are still happening there.
I wish that in the era of camera phones, and I have a camera phone that even takes videos, okay? That there's so much that parents need to be doing to document the madness that their children exist in. They need to be going into these classrooms and taking pictures of the numbers of kids in these classrooms. I understand parents want to raise their own child and just deal with their own issues, but the fact of the matter is that when your baby grows up, she don't need to be dating one of the men that was that you left behind in the St. Louis public schools.
Yes, so ma'am. And I admire you because, like the other young man said, the last caller, you just constantly just talk the right things. For the last 5 years, you're so wise about the city schools, and no one's hasn't taken a stand. The teachers, now look what's happening. They're being fired. You are a very wise woman.
But here's the thing. The teachers did work. I will give the teachers credit for coming behind Donna Jones and Peter Downs when they did. That was an awesome thing to do. But my concern about them now is the same concern that I had prior to their embracing and pushing and working hard on the campaigns of those two people is the fact of the matter is that it's not over. This fight, this war, this battle is not over. And if you don't keep fighting back, they're going to come and take your stuff. And I have the letters in front of me. They fired these teachers.
And you say it was Fashawn and Roosevelt. It wasn't another high school, was it?
It is another high school. The name keeps escaping me right now.
Oh, okay.
It's another high school.
I want to let go so someone else can call. All I want to say is God bless you. You're a very wise woman, very wise one. You just earn off. And my grandmother listens to you. You're very wise.
Thank you so
much. And I'm going to say this. You go, girl.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. 4540400 is my phone number. Get to me. Maureen.
Hi, Liz. Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good. My comment is not necessarily about the city schools.
Okay.
It's about the Hazelwood School District.
Okay.
My niece is like 15 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I do understand that the majority of the students who attend the Hazelwood School District are black.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she just told me the other day that when the kids get into like a confrontational fight or something like that, that they are macing the children.
Who's macing the children? Who's macing the children?
I guess the security guards are whoever, but they're doing this quite frequently. And I'm wondering, is this legal? If it had been my child, I mean, I would have asked
I guess, Maureen, what I would need are some details on this.
Uh-huh.
Because I macing under what circumstances, when...
Well, I guess if they can't pull them apart, you know, like two dogs mating, they mace them to break up the fights. And I just don't really think that they should go to that extreme.
I don't think so either. I guess what I would, again, I would need to know what schools we're talking about and what is the policy. This is a niece of yours?
Yes, I'm talking about Hazelwood Central.
Here's what her parent needs to do. They need to call and find out what the policy is.
And
find out what the policy is and see if they are hearing or if this is the policy, then the parent needs to get involved in that and change that policy.
Of course.
So I would be curious to know if her parent has called and what her parent has done about that. And then to follow up and let us know on the air, that would be great.
I sure will. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Chuck.
Yes. Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
The third school that you were trying to think of is Sumner.
Oh, okay.
And guess what? I got a junior there.
Isn't that something? A junior that's...
You know I'm going to be on fire.
Okay.
Right.
And what I think that you need to be doing right now is to call... You need to be blowing up the superintendent's phone. Because as a parent, you should be outraged that the superintendent would think it makes sense...
Right.
To fire your child is a junior.
Yes.
Going there the next year.
He'll be a senior.
Okay.
In the fall.
That's outrageous. That's outrageous. You need to be blowing his phone up.
Okay.
And or sending him an email as well, because apparently he doesn't answer the phone. So send him an email and let us know.
All right.
Thank you, Chuck. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Donna.
Yes. Good morning.
Hey, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Donna Jones, good morning.
Oh, pretty good.
Good, talk to us.
I was going to call and let you know it was Sumner.
Okay.
That was one of the schools.
Okay.
I'm also surprised to hear about the firings.
And Donna, I'm assuming that you haven't seen this letter.
Oh, no.
Okay, this letter that went out to all of the teachers, if I could just read it to you for a second. This is from Craig E. Williams, R.E., District Changes. Dear colleagues, we regret to inform you that on May 26, your assignment at your current location will end. This decision was made due to school closings, the restructuring, and the reconstitution of certain schools and certain grade reorganizations. Now, Donna, I was at the school board meeting when Greg Williams said that mass firings of teachers, that's not what was going to happen.
Right, that's absolutely correct, because I would never agree to anything like that. Absolutely never.
So it just really kind of makes you wonder. It's kind of like when George Bush signs off and changes the bills that have been passed by Congress.
Right,
bait and switch.
That's
so it kind of makes you wonder, what should you say yes to him about? And here's what it says, that if the school district vacancy list for general vacancies that are not new or reconstituted will be made available Monday, June 5th, and the deadline is just crazy. Tuesday, May 23rd, and Wednesday, that would be today, school visits, they will distribute official notifications. Wednesday of next week, non-certified vacancies will be posted on the website. June 5th, deadline to apply for the new and reconstituted schools by 12 o'clock. Thursday, June 8th, interviews are conducted. Thursday, June 8th at evening, status calls are made to employees. Friday, June 9th, non-certified district employees only job fairs will be held. Saturday, June 10th, non-certified district employee only job fairs will be held. June 12th, notifications will go out to successful candidates by mail. Monday, June 12th, district vacancy list for non-certified staff is posted on the website. Friday, June 16th, deadline of submission for the district-wide selection request forms. Monday, June 19th through June the 23rd, non-certified staff appointed to selected vacancies where possible. Are you aware of any of this?
No, I was not aware of a lot of things that you said, but I certainly will find out. But I'm real concerned that all these things are happening much too fast and that people are not getting a chance to weigh in on it. And
This is just wild. This is absolutely wild.
I also heard last night that about Mayor Slade buying up all the old Catholic schools. you know, and soliciting people to start those workplace charter schools. So we're going to have two districts, and that's my understanding.
Doesn't the school district have to have some say in approving any of these?
I'm not sure. We're going to have to find out. So it looks like we're being set up for competition.
Not only that, but it's the plan that they had tried to, that they were going to go after.
Absolutely. That was the plan all along, and that's the way I feel as a parent and also as a board member. And I'm really, really disappointed. And
well, we have some fighting to do.
Absolutely.
We have some fighting to do.
I mean, people just need to speak up. I'm just really getting tired of, we have no more time to sit on our butts.
That's right.
It's time to get up and make that move.
That's a fact.
No more talking, time to get up. If you really believe in something, take it to heart and let people know how you feel. I admire those people that came out for Cleveland. If you have a school and you feel real strong about your school, you love your school, stand up for your school.
That's fact.
And come out for it. So I'm really worried.
Yeah, and we all should be, because we're still at war. We are still at war.
Absolutely. And I want people to show up for the board meeting, but more than just that, to find out what they can do, contact their schools, because I had no idea these teachers were all being fired.
Fired. Thank you so much, Don. I got to take a break.
Thank you.
We'll be talking soon. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'm taking a break. My name, again, is Liz Brown. The number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Stay with me.
Shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
You see us on television. You hear about us on the news. But do you really know policemen on the street? Now is your chance to find out. This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. We'll bring you politicians from Jefferson City and locally here in St. Louis as they craft laws which impact your everyday life. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU. What you gonna do when they come for you, bad boys, bad boys?
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need, anything that you need? Of course, you're going to go on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right. High-end refrigerators, high-end stoves, all kinds of wonderfully priced items, all in between. You need to get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge, 3425 Union. My name is Liz Brown, and when you get on over to Sears, tell Jerome Williams I told you to.
Tuesday morning on the Wake Up Call, you're going to find out all about the new digital cameras that are on the market. No film to worry about developing anymore. Think they're too complex for people like you to use? Not so. In many ways, they're better because they do so much more. Photo expert Jim Mutke joins us Tuesday morning during the 8 o'clock hour with some great tips on how to get a great picture every time. So if you're a photo bug, you won't want to miss this segment, just in time to capture perfect summer memories. The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof, but beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job.
Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
Can you still become a hero at work? Yes. Is it still easy? You bet. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner each week and deliver a basket of goodies to the winning workplace. You have to hurry, though. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees and family of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
This Friday, the Wake Up Call is presenting a special 3-hour program dedicated to issues affecting those who served in the military. During the 7 o'clock hour, several local veterans talk about problems they encountered when they left the service and still have never had resolved. Plus, Michael Payne, a retired Air Force veteran who worked through his own post-traumatic stress issues and now counsels troubled vets, will be with us to talk about the new challenges the Iraq and Afghan conflicts are presenting to our soldiers. At 7, author Penny Coleman joins Liz to discuss her book on post-traumatic stress called Flashback, and examines how PTSD affects not only soldiers, but also their families. Her own husband committed suicide due to PTSD issues. Then at 9, Liz is joined by retired Navy Captain Lori Manning for a perspective of military service from a female point of view. Plus, journalist Larry Scott brings leads for resources veterans can turn to for help. A powerful and moving edition of The Wake Up Call, this Friday morning from 7 until 10. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Lois.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm okay. I just want to throw out a little message there. Let me turn down my radio. A house divided can't stand. And what I'm trying to say when I say that is the black race is a family, and we have trouble in our family.
Every family has trouble?
Yes.
Okay.
And we need to get together and work out our differences, and okay. We need to do it, I believe, more privately than what we're doing
okay.
now.
Okay, break it down for me, please, Lois, because you're saying we and this we are doing something. Give me a specific that you were talking about that's driven you to call this morning.
Well, with Greg Williams, for one thing.
Greg Williams. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By me not being from St. Louis, I don't know the history of the schools here and the school board and all of that. And but what I've seen so far, it concerns me. I have seen some school teachers that should not be in the classroom. I've heard them talk, their persona, the whole thing is very, very negative. And I think about, oh my God, those people are teaching our poor kids. Now, like I said, I don't know the whole history.
Well, don't you think
this,
that
what I'm saying is,
wouldn't it be helpful to know the whole history
of the St. Louis school
system? Of what has gotten us to where we are right now. So wouldn't it be helpful to know that?
I know some because I read and I try to keep up with what's going on with the changing of the school board and everything, like Miss Donna Jones. You got you talking to her, and a lot of things that she didn't even know. I mean, how could she not know that she got a superintendent that is firing teachers?
Well, Lois, again, let's slow down for a second. Nobody knew that Craig Williams was firing the teachers until yesterday. The firings took place yesterday.
Can he do that without the okay of the school board?
No, they can't. So that's why I'm saying you came on initially with the observation that a house divided can't stand. But yet when Donna Jones said, how could she not know this? You didn't know it. You hadn't heard everything that I had said this morning. This is a letter that went out May 22nd. Teachers got them in their hands yesterday. May 22nd was Monday. And mind you, this is after a school board meeting where Craig Williams said he was not going to be firing teachers wholesale like this.
Well, okay, my observation is this man is taking on a tremendous, tremendous job.
He's getting paid to do it.
This is a terrible school system.
There are needs in this district, but to see, let's talk about painting things with a broad brush. There are so many positive, there are many, many positive things going on in this district. Does this district have challenges? Yes. Were the challenges of this district made worse by the decision of Francis Slay and the four people that he brought to the board and the four people that hired Craig Williams? Absolutely. Has Craig Williams contributed to making this district worse? Absolutely he has. It's not this there are problems that existed in this district prior to his coming here. What has he done to address and fix those problems? Nothing.
The stuff that has to be fixed, it's going to take a long time to do.
Well, then absolutely. There are some problems
you know,
to take up. Wait a minute.
I'm out there every day.
Out where?
In the school bus. I mean, on public transportation.
You're on public, riding
I'm
the public buses.
I'm looking at these students.
Okay, go ahead. Go with it. Go ahead. Talk about how bad the kids are. Go ahead. Do it.
No.
Go ahead. Talk about how bad the kids are. Talk about
how beyond serious. They're not.
Well, then explain. Then explain to me. Explain to me. Explain again. I know you want to beat up on the kids, but let's do this.
I'm beating up on the kids.
Then let's do this. Let's do this. Let's talk about the man who is getting paid $300,000 a year, $25,000 a month. Those kids that you're talking about out here, the kids that have the challenges, why would a man who is supposed to have expertise and understanding, why would he close down Maida P. Washington School that works for troubled kids?
Has he been here a year yet?
Yes, he has been over here over a year. Yes, he has been here over a year.
It hasn't been too much over a year.
But he's been here over a year. How much time should we allow for the experimentation of our children? Huh?
Oh, my God.
How much time should we allow for him?
Quite a few more years than just a year and a half.
But understand at what cost. We're saying, okay, we're going to, for the sake of giving Craig Williams a chance, man that never should have been hired to begin with, a man who had no expertise, a man who didn't even have a superintendent's certification before he came.
We need to be jumping on the people that hired him?
But we got rid of him. Lois, we got rid of those people off the board. Both of those people lost their jobs off the board. So, yes, we are doing that, Lois, and it is a process in doing that. And part of the process is getting rid of, if he continues to do the things that he did before that, then you know what? He needs to be gotten rid of. And why should anybody be allowed to be given a chance at $25,000 a month, when we can't afford to pay teachers, if they don't perform immediately, why would we keep them on at $25,000 a month? Come on. I mean, if we were paying him 10 grand a month, maybe. But we're paying him $25,000 a month to perform. And you haven't performed in over a year. You're saying give him more chances? Come on.
But wait a minute. What he did separating the ninth grade, I thought that was a great idea.
Separating the ninth grade?
Taking the kids, the ninth grade kids.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the junior and senior high, mm-hmm. separating them to give them a chance to get started. I thought that was
let's evaluate that. That was a decision that made the ninth graders who were stuffed into a school that couldn't support them to begin with numerically, he basically did a smaller school. I didn't have to have a superintendent certification to do that. He had to wait until there were fights after fights after fights after fights at Vishon before he made a move to do something that everybody in the world, every report in the world, every study in the world has already said smaller classrooms, policy class sizes work. And Lois, let me just end with this question. I know that you have worked in America before. How long does your job give you as a probationary period to perform? 6 months? 4 months? How much time do you
Come
get?
Come on, Liz, be fair.
I am being fair. I'm asking you a question about your. I'm asking you a question about your life experience. Lois, answer me. In your own personal life experience, how much time does a job give you in your probationary period? How much time?
Honey, you can't compare.
Oh, honey, yes, I can. Honey, yes, I can. And honey, the children in the school district deserve people that say it's not working, let's fix it, and that we can't afford to hire somebody that has no experience and has done a poor job. And if you're going to be honest